exciting broadcast day.
Yeah, good times. 866-901-ADAM is the phone number. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, big old bri.
Hello.
Well, let's see here. I just got back from Pebble Beach, which is where they have the big car concourse thing every year.
Now, to most people, isn't that a big golf thing, the Pebble Beach golf thing?
Yes, it is. Pebble Beach golf and then the concourse thing they have at the country club. Two biggest things on the Pebble Beach calendar.
And you don't give a rat's ass about one of them?
No. I don't care about golf. I've tried it. It's hard to do. Anything that's hard to do, I sort of appreciate, and then I just keep moving. It's I look at them like spelling bees or something. Like, well, I can't do it.
I can't do it. Right.
I appreciate the Indian kids, the 9-year-old Indian kids that can kick my ass.
Yeah.
Great.
But now I'm going to move forward with my life.
Yeah, if I had an option between golfing and cancer, I got to go cancer.
Yeah, golfing is an excuse. Golfing was invented so that guys could be left alone with each other for small patches of time outdoors. Yeah. You got to understand, ever since we've been civilized, all we try to do is simulate things that are deep in the back of our brains. And men want to be with other men, but we can't. We're married and we have kids. Men want to be outdoors. Yes.
I thought you just meant it was invented because men in the back of their minds still want to carry clubs when they talk about chicks.
They like to carry clubs.
Right.
It's true. So what we want to do is we want to get with other guys from different tribes. We want to meet at some sort of sacred ground. We want to take clubs, and we want to walk around for about 4 hours. We don't want any chicks, and we want to be left alone.
Yep.
And that's why
yep.
That's why most guys aren't very good at golf, because if you're good at golf, you only walk around for 3 hours, and if you suck, you walk around for 5.5 hours.
Never
with
thought
the dudes
of it that way. Very nice
from
of
your tribe. So you and the other guys from the tribe get the clubs, and you walk around for about 5 hours getting drunk out in the wilderness, and that's good for Sunday, and then it's back to the home and the domesticated life.
Nice.
This is why guys enjoy golf. They don't enjoy golf. No one I know actually likes the part where they hit the ball. That part doesn't go very well.
Yeah, but what about your Michael Jordans and your Charles Barkleys that love golf?
There are people who are flat out addicted. That's the only reason
I would...
Well, also, there's big money made deals. The biggest deals are made on golf courses, from what I hear. And that's why I took a couple of lessons.
Or maybe they also want to be in their pack away from their women.
There's a networking thing, and then there's this part where you can't believe you're being foiled by this little ball with this stick and that you can't master it.
Dude, my little balls just cost me about $3 million. I'm never surprised when my balls
betray me. You've been foiled by your little balls?
A thousand times. My man.
Yeah. They're not as white as yours, though, Danny. These are...
Oh, I'm sure they are by now. If they reflect my soul in any way, they're black as night.
As long as they don't have little divots.
There have been a cleat or two ran there.
This is basically walking around a golf course with $300-400 million worth of cars parked on it.
Heaven for you.
Now, do you bring one of your own?
I do enjoy it. Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, Joel McHale came with us. I was thinking of you, Teresa, because we had to share a bed.
Did he smell good? Tell me the truth.
He smelled of fresh cut pine. That's what he smelled like. And that was him breaking wind. We slept in a 69. I don't call it 69 position, but I do my head at the foot, and he does his foot at the head, and that's the way we roll.
That's really just kind of 11.
So his gas smells like a poof of daisies. Oh, something delightful.
It smells like he eats just those Christmas trees that hang from your rear view.
And I would like to take offense to you even using the word poof.
Yes,
he's about these two men sleeping together.
So you guys go together and share a bed.
I went with my dude buddies to this event, and see, the event is like a whole long weekend where you go to the car races and you go to the Italiano thing, which is another golf course, and then you go to the Concourse de Elegance over on the thing.
And
the thing that's cool, I'll tell you what I like about
it.
How
hot are the chicks?
A lot of hot chicks with older dudes and huge rocks and lots of super expensive stuff. And I like the Italiano concourse thing the best myself. But I really like looking at the cars because, A, it's a little march through history.
Yeah.
And then, B, it's really I like artistic stuff, but I like stuff to function as well. I don't like things that just have some utilitarian purpose and then don't look good. Like, I don't want to live in a house where, well, it keeps you dry and the coyotes can't get in, but looks really crappy, and I don't want something that looks really good and that leaks like a sieve when it rains. You know what I mean? To me, I mean, the idea that these Italian cars can be as aesthetically beautiful as they are and still haul ass and carve up the road, that's the part that makes it cool to me, and that these guys are all dead pretty much, and that somebody in some shop in Turin, Italy was pounding this, shaping this metal with an English wheel, like really 40, 50 years ago, literally just this wheel and a mallet, and they're taking this aluminum and they're stretching it and they're making it into a fender and all that stuff. It's just very, very cool. And it really makes, when you, and I use this example a lot, but when you walk around, when you walk down Pebble Beach and you see the Duesenbergs and the Ferraris and the Jaguars and the Aston Martins and all the different makes from all the different countries, and these guys standing around dressed to the nines, dusting them, and they did restorations on them where they found it in some barn, and they took it down to every nut and bolt and had everything replated and refinished and put back together. You think, and then you look at the surroundings. You look at just Pebble Beach and the beautiful country club and the beautiful coastline. You think, yeah, see, people can be pretty good. We're good.
Yeah.
Here's a bunch of people that are all walking around. Nobody's fighting. Nobody's shoving. Everyone's getting a nice buzz. You know, there's plenty of booze, but still nobody's acting out. They're all admiring these cars. You know, when someone steps in front of someone who's taking a picture, the person says, excuse me, and the other person says, sorry.
Good day, sir.
We can do it.
Yeah.
And a whole bunch of really cool human beings from all over the world, not just our part of the world, put these cars together.
They have something in common,
and the cars are from England and Italy and France and America, and everyone seems, they're all just sitting together in perfect harmony along the 18th green of Pebble Beach. I just think, this is good. Like, if you landed here from your spaceship, you go, wow, these are amazing people.
Yeah. I like these humans.
They're rich,
friendly.
They're civil. They're all white. This is hot.
And this Joel one is so pretty.
Joel, good.
Wow,
good looking, and a newborn had never seen all of this stuff I was mentioning.
Oh, he was excited.
Joel McHale came up. Yeah, he was a good guy. Came up and met us up there after doing a show on Thursday night. And walked around and went to all the events and offered to get a cot. But I said, no, you can just sleep on the bed. Wow. Doesn't snore, by the way. And very very hygienic in the dental department.
Yeah, doesn't, you know, these guys? Flossing.
Yes.
Yeah, you have no idea what you're supposed to be doing with your mouth until you hang out with somebody and see the ritual.
Yeah.
Most people, you don't see the ritual. It's a weird thing when you see someone's ritual. You don't see people's rituals because you work with them, you eat with them, you hang with them, and then you leave. And at some point, 3 hours after you guys eat and hang and drink and do whatever, at some point they get into their underpants and they do their ritual.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, their go-to-bed ritual.
Yeah.
When you see the person doing the ritual, you think, oh, is that what you're supposed to do? Or, Jesus Christ, I'm done with that in 20 seconds. Right. You've been going at it for 45.
I'm that guy.
You see the guy like Joel McHale, he gets his floss out, and he's doing his flossing. The flossing, I floss once a month, and it takes 15 seconds. He's flossing every night, takes him 15 minutes. And then you walk, and then you see the Synsonic bath, ultrasonic, electric device he's putting in his mouth. He's cleaning his teeth. But then he knows there's a weird rubber head on it. It's not like the regular toothbrush, whereas I am rinsing and spitting like two strokes into this tooth. Like, oh, I'm done.
Yep.
Here we go. I just don't want any broccoli or anything stuck to my tooth when I'm going to bed. Like, I don't want to wake up with a whole head of broccoli stuck to my face. Other than that, if I can't feel it, it's gone. plaque's invisible. And then you start thinking to yourself, as you're just lying there watching TV, when they're getting into like minute 37 of their ritual, you think, wow, first off, how long must this go on at home? Because we're on the road.
Right.
And this has gone on damn near 45 minutes. And then secondly, what am I not doing? Am I supposed to be doing this?
Right.
How long have you been doing this? Is his dad a dentist?
I was just wondering that.
No.
I am not a porn star. I have appeared in porn.
There's somehow some people have their weird little ritual that it always surrounds the bathroom. Yes,
Danny? I think, well, I was just going to say, I would bet money in some way fairly close we all have one. I know I have one. It doesn't seem like one because it seems all normal. Mm-hmm. But I have a specific way that when I say get ready for this show, I don't mean prep. Or even crazy.
Right.
But I mean, I brush my teeth, my hair, sit on the couch, smoke a certain amount of cigarettes, watch a certain amount of CNN in a certain order. And I would imagine that everybody has a basic ritual, especially first thing in the morning. That they do things the same way every day.
I completely agree.
Mr. Poached Eggs and CNN.
Yes. Everyone does the same thing in the morning.
Molly's head on your lap.
Yep. I need to get myself a girlfriend named Molly, too, so I don't have to technically lie to my wife.
Don't,
you know?
That's,
she's begging for it, so I gave her some.
Your wife's like, you've been acting different. What's going on with you?
I'm in love with Molly. What can I say?
You're wearing nicer clothes. You're hitting the gym. What is it?
Oh, Molly. I love Molly. Molly's awesome. Yeah, that way awesome. Never builds up until I get that. Molly's on the phone. I had a line put in the doghouse.
You know what? Then I got to come up with a nickname for my girlfriend. Probably something like some strange chick. Mm-hmm. If I start calling her, hey, some strange chick. That way in the morning I can go, dude, got from some strange chick last night. It was bitching. Smart. And I won't be in trouble.
I like when you have to explain, Molly's pregnant. I don't understand. She's been fixed.
Well, the ritual. Yes, the ritual. Well, you're sort of talking about the order, and everyone does that. But my ritual for going to bed is it takes me 28 seconds to brush my teeth, and then I'm in my underpants, and then I'm in bed. I'm just saying the people that take 45 minutes from the time they decide they're going to bed to the time they actually go to bed, the amount of time that they spend on their teeth, on their face, on their ass, whatever it is they're doing.
When you're done with your 28 seconds, do you find yourself reasonably kissable? Could you kiss somebody without being embarrassed by your breath or something like that if you've done your 24
seconds? Definitely huggable.
You're always huggable, Carolla. Come on.
And I'm somewhat squeezable. I think I'm kissable, but not like, impress somebody first date, make out on the porch kissable.
Yeah. Okay, because I smoke, and when I date a non-smoker, I will brush my teeth as many as, I don't know, 15 times in a day. But just a quick thing, because I'm going to kiss them, and they don't smoke, and that's gross.
Right.
But normally, you give me 30 seconds top, because I read somewhere that you should brush your teeth with 2 minutes, and now they have toothbrushes that time you. Did you know that?
Really?
You hit a button, and it beeps when you brush for 2 minutes. Well, you can
two
eat me.
2 minutes? With,
yeah. Forget that. I'm working up a sweat in 2 minutes. Smoke.
2 minutes is one of these things that people just throw around. That sounds reasonable. 2 minutes is
forever.
A long time.
Yeah. Almost everybody in radio will know that, too. In 2 minutes, I'll go smoke a cigarette and leisurely walk back into this room.
Yeah, you don't have to run.
No.
Good times.
But I only do that at night now when Amy is around. I really brush my teeth, and not just so I can kiss her. I hope this doesn't gross people out, though. I'm just going to tell you the truth here. I don't usually brush my teeth at night.
I brush
my teeth in the morning, and maybe at some point during the day if I've eaten something gross.
Okay.
But relax.
We thought it had something to do with Amy's ashtray.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we call it now. But it has butts involved. But I don't usually, I'm not a nighttime toothbrusher. I'm not that insane. But first of all, almost none of my teeth are real, so they're going to be white no matter what. Mm-hmm. So if I don't have somebody who I don't wish to offend, that's not high on my list of things to do right before I go to bed.
All the crazy things you told us, you thought that not brushing your teeth at night was going to
that's nothing. We're fine with that.
Well, one is hygiene. Plus, if I went and did something crazy, you'd expect it. I thought if you guys went, that's gross.
You brush your teeth 15 times a day. I mean, it was probably not more than 20 minutes earlier you brushed your teeth. So
right,
you're
going to
brush
true.
Your teeth throughout
only
the day.
Only if I'm dating
who
a non-smoker.
Cares?
If I'm dating a smoker, I'm all licking their face within seconds like Molly.
Good times.
And she told me to stop.
John Greenwald Jr. Who is that? Well, he runs a little place called theblackvault.com. We were talking, he's a UFO guy. I'm not a UFO guy, But this guy seems not nuts.
Not nuts. That's what I put on my MySpace thing when I was saying who's coming on today. Mm-hmm. And I said, UFO guy, not crazy.
Huh. And very interesting and has a lot of information. And I'm all ears. I mean, the way I feel about UFOs and most of this stuff, I don't believe. I'm not a conspiracy theorist and all that kind of stuff. But if you're not nuts and you know something about this topic, I'm willing to listen. And yeah. That's the posture I'm going to be in 5 minutes when we speak to John Greenwald Jr., and he will make a convincer of us and you. UFOs next.
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaduce, and Teresa Strasser. Here's what's on deck this morning with our program director, Jack Silver.
Happy Monday, peeps! Today, Ozzy reviews the number one movie in America, Superbad! Angel Adam and Devil Danny are gonna solve all your problems! Another edition of Music Monday! And from Dr. 90210, gender reassignment surgeon Dr. Gary Alter! Gender reassignment? You mean turning dudes into broads? Good to know. Because if something were to say happen to Teresa, Jacqueline Silver would be ready to step up to the plate.
Thank you, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
John Greenwald Jr. in studio. TheBlackVault.com is where you go to find out all about him. He runs a website, which is said to be the largest UFO database in the world. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
So you started writing the CIA and the NSA and all sorts of places like that under the Freedom of Information Act at age 16 or before.
That's right, 15, right.
So you had a fascination with this topic from a very early age.
It was a fascination and a curiosity, but I had no idea I'd find myself actually investigating these things via the Freedom of Information Act.
So your average person, do they believe in UFOs? Does 50% of the country believe in it? Is it 20%?
I think that the last polls that were done in the last decade, the last Roper poll, was well over 50% believe in some kind of an intelligent life out there.
Believe in the possibility of?
I think believe was how they put it.
Wow.
I think the question that really gets posed is, have they been here on Earth? And that really is what legitimate UFO researchers are out there trying to find out. And as you mentioned before we got on, there are a few crazy people definitely mm-hmm. in this particular field. But it is a very serious field of research and a lot of fun to be involved in.
What is the most compelling piece of argument to the naysayers in your mind?
Well, I think if you're looking for a smoking gun when you're dealing with the U.S. government and what documents they give out on the topic, you're not going to find it. If anybody tells you they have it, they're pretty much lying because they should be on the cover of Time magazine. Mm-hmm. I think when you look at the government documents, you have to piece them together like a puzzle. I've got, I would say, well over 20, 30,000 documents just on UFOs. The Black Vault itself has about 500,000 pages of government documents on all sorts of topics, UFOs always being number one. Mm-hmm. Most compelling shred of evidence, I think, when you put all the pieces together like a puzzle, bottom line is the U.S. government considers UFOs one of the most top secret topics that they hold.
Sounds like you have mental problems, man.
and is there feeling that anarchy will will ensue if we find out about this? Well, I mean, is there a religious correspondence here, or is it attached to? I know religious. The church, for instance, is not that interested in UFOs because it suggests that there's other beings that have been around longer than us right. and so on and so forth. Is it the same kind of thing with the government? I mean, why would they care if we found out?
I think you just have to look at history. Look at the War of the Worlds. They read that over the radio, and all of a sudden pandemonium broke out because they really thought it was real. Mm-hmm. Is that going to happen in 2007? I don't know. No. But I really do think that maybe those people in this room might be able to handle some kind of admission just fine.
Is that a fair analogy, though? I mean, in War of the Worlds, we are physically under attack, and it's right. coming to you on the radio. If we got a bulletin from the news saying, it turns out there is solid evidence, here are the pictures, UFOs have landed here on Earth, I personally don't know a guy that would blink. They'd go, that's weird, I knew it all the time.
Right.
And so then, why top secret then?
how many knuckleheads out there would then all of a sudden make the notion that they were going to attack us? How many people heard of Heaven's Gate before Heaven's Gate all off themselves because they thought that there was a UFO behind a comet? And yet that really did happen. Right. All of a sudden said, hey, there's a UFO behind a comet. Then all of a sudden a strange cult out of San Diego comes and just they all off themselves because they want to take a ride.
Well, I understand.
Those are the types of people.
I understand where the government doesn't want to shake things up. Basically,
they want to give out tickets.
They look at it as they look at it as us as some sort of money making anthill that they don't want to disturb.
Sure.
And if you told me there was a planet filled with other beings, I would probably stop paying taxes the following day. I'd be like, oh, wow. First, I would think, so there is much more than this. And then the second thing I would do is stop paying taxes. I would just go, wow, screw this. What's going on with this other culture? I understand they want to keep the street lights on, they want to keep the buses running and the trains running, and they want people to pay taxes, and them feeding them information that could potentially agitate us, not what they want. They don't want everyone agitated bumping into each other.
That's right. And if you deal with just society here in the United States, we pride ourselves as being number one. We're the most advanced military. I mean, number one. If there is an admission that there is a higher power, just here in America, we realize we're no longer number one, that there's a society out there that can travel the stars, come here, watch us, and we have zero control over it. That, I think, would freak out a lot of people.
Do you have personal experience with beings from other...
Frequently asked question, unfortunately, the answer is no. I'm driven by curiosity.
I'm crazier than a rabbit's at.
And
you've never seen
writing.
any UFO or a Martian?
Never have seen a thing.
And you started writing the government at 16. You ever seen a girl naked?
That's a better question.
Have you?
I use the internet, so...
can I tell you, John is not what I was expecting. He's a good-looking young man.
Normal, smart.
He's well-groomed, is what you're saying as well.
How dare you,
sir? A lot of these... It does look a little like the old Billy Moses. Yeah, now, what about Roswell and Area 51? Right.
You know, Roswell is the story that you hear about all the time. It's kind of a media buzzword whenever you talk about UFOs, you talk about Roswell. It comes as a big shock to many people, but it is really a blatant lie when they're trying to explain Roswell. It's very easy to prove the lie, by the way. They've tried to explain this incident four different times.
Yeah.
Even the fourth explanation is completely... It's just completely factually incorrect. There's not a single fact in this particular
report.
So
what did happen?
You know what? I don't know. I really don't. I try and stay away from that case because there's so many researchers that just go after it. And people have spent decades, longer than I've been alive, researching this particular incident. And we still end with a question mark. We have absolutely no idea what really happened.
Does the government say this is restricted airspace and this is a place where we test out military stuff? That's why we don't need you snooping around?
Well, that's Area 51. That's a little bit of a different topic. That's 90 miles northeast of Las Vegas, which I've been out to the gates. Yes, that is kind of the public story, that is an area where they test top secret military aircraft, the F-117 and the B-2 stealth bomber.
Roswell and Area 51 were connected.
No. Unfortunately, the Roswell incident happened in Roswell, New Mexico, which is, let me tell you, in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
And even though Area 51's in the middle of nowhere, that's in Nevada.
Did they take the Roswell wreckage to Area 51? Is that what people think or claim? I thought there was some sort of connection to
it. One conspiracy theory is that it ended up there. But the big story was that the wreckage, quote-unquote, whatever that was, alien spaceship or weather balloon, which is what the government tries to tell you, was taken to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Ohio.
So if you... Now, we're speaking to John Greenwald, Jr., by the way, who's smart because the people who study aliens who say they've were abducted by them and probed, you don't believe. The ones that say, I've never seen one, you do tend to at least believe in the sincerity of what you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that there's multiple aliens? Is it one culture? Is it multiple cultures? If they know we're here, they just leaving us alone and not interested?
Well,
are they not intervening in our lives?
I think to answer that, you got to jump ahead in your belief system a little bit. You've got to really conclude beyond any shadow of a doubt that they're out there. Let's just assume for this question that they are out there, that we have irrefutable proof. Is it logical that there's only one species? No, absolutely not.
I'm with you on that completely. That's an ego thing. We're the only things. The galaxy, and they say there's more stars than grains of sand on the beach. So why would we be the only ones?
Well,
no,
but that's not an ego thing because we're saying there's one, not us. we're talking about one, but you're saying there's probably multiple.
I would say that's the logical way to look at it. That if you really confirm that there is life out there, then how illogical would it be to say there's only one more than Earth and there's only one species? That I think
they do
wouldn't
it,
be true.
They do it in movies. I mean, most of what we know from movies. But on the other hand, a lot of the stuff that they thought about in movies has come to pass.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is half that stuff is nonsense about the these movies, sci-fi movies from the 50s and 60s and before that books. And then the other half is, we do have telephones where you can look at the people you're talking to.
Yeah, it's weird, right?
And that kind of stuff. I mean, a lot of the stuff, you go back to Leonardo da Vinci, a lot of that stuff's like, yep, we got one of them. We got one of them, mm-hmm. and that happened, too.
Yeah, so, the Get Smart shoe phone, we basically have
We got
have
the
that.
Shoe phone.
Yeah.
Just the fact that Leonardo DiCaprio is famous, I think, proves there isn't alien intelligence in life.
I'm curious about the blackvault.com, your website. I imagine you get a ton of traffic.
It's well over at this point, about 40 or 50,000 people every day log on.
Jeez.
So it's huge at this point. And, I think that's a real testament to how society views this topic. If they really didn't care and didn't believe in it, they wouldn't log on. But the fact that people are really taking the time, the energy, and putting the dedication into reading one, two, or even thousands of these pages, it shows what society is starting to think.
Well, what do you think the future holds for this topic? Do you think us... I guess my question is if the aliens have superior technology, why not be seen? I mean, what harm could it cause?
Well, without going into a big tangent, I think the answer to that is that if you believe in the theory of the Big Bang and you believe that maybe they had 100,000 or a million year head start, if they're coming here, we're a pretty young civilization.
Yes.
If they lost their written record, very similar to what we have, we don't have a very big written record of the caveman days. If we had the opportunity to go back in time and watch and learn, would we go down and knock them on the head and say, hey, guys, we're watching you. We just want to learn how you guys live. No, it would completely throw...
Did he just get a little nuttier?
No, I kind of...
No? Because he was told... I was with you until then.
No. Well, here's
hypothetical.
Here's what John Greenwald Jr. is saying, UFO
Please
expert.
Don't.
I think
yeah.
he's saying the more evolved you get, the more you realize you shouldn't be tampering and monkeying and messing. Like, when you take really stupid people and you drop them off in some beautiful environment, they go, hey, man, I'm going to go spray paint my name near that waterfall. And when you take really elevated, smart people, they go, pick up that candy wrapper. Don't leave it here. Leave no trace that you're here.
Yeah.
They the smarter and the more evolved and the more advanced you are, the more you think, let's not disturb anything, even if it seems like a good idea. Don't intervene. It'll screw things up. We've seen enough sci-fi movies to know if you travel in the future, you travel back to the past. Right. So I think there's the element of what John is saying is if they do get involved, they could screw things up, or they could screw things up for themselves. This way, we just observe.
Is that
Plus,
right?
That's very true. Yes.
There's also the Wolverine factor. And that is, depending on how long that they have been observing us, a Wolverine is about, a foot and a half long, yet vicious. I would not go up and disturb a pile of them just because I'm more advanced. So unless they know what we're up to, I would certainly wait to expose myself, pardon the pun, until I knew what we were capable
sure.
of. Wolverine! See?
Right. I just want to know what a 16-year-old John Greenwald was like when you start writing letters to the government to get all this information.
He types with one hand.
I really want to know.
You got that memo, didn't you?
Yeah.
I was a little bit of a troublemaker in a good sense. I wanted to find out what the government had, not only with UFOs, but all sorts of things.
I consider myself a nerd.
and they were, through the Freedom of Information Act,
That's
they
correct.
Responded?
Yeah, by law they have
they
to.
What did your parents think of this?
Mom's very proud. Mom is a mom. I love her dearly. I hope she's up listening. But
what about your other mom? Sorry, Dad. The one you call Dad.
And and Dad's
Gina, the one you call Dad. What about him? Her
Dad is very proud as well. But he was very nervous because he works for a government contractor.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Wow, and he's going through menopause, so there's a lot of emotion. Government contractor. That's
my dad's a general. Here, dear guys, I'm a communist. I'm the general's son.
Do you have siblings?
I do. I have a great sister, older sister, and that's it. It's just her and I.
Good times. And a Valley boy, right?
I am born and raised.
Where?
Northridge. And now I'm in Encino.
Good times.
Looking at Monroe?
No, Alamany High.
All right. Alamany High. John Greenwood Jr., God bless you. TheBlackVault.com is where you go to get more information. Well, fun and informative, or at least informative, but we'll bring you back because I have many more questions.
Yeah.
We're just out of time.
Yeah!
866-901, I'm telling you what we'll do next. A little Angel Adam, Devil Danny. You have problems. You have dilemmas. You have problems. You call up. We will give you the polar extremes. You can decide to go one way or the other, or maybe somewhere in between. Angel Adam, Devil Danny, 866-901-ADAM. We'll do that next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Do you have a moral issue that you could go either way on? But you need a little more advice, right? Talk to Angel Adam and Devil Danny.
I'm wondering if I should get my junk pierced again.
What are you rocking now downstairs?
Prince Albert and Abu Dhabi.
You're a lawn genie at this point. Instead of focusing on what you can do to yourself to hurt yourself more, why don't you focus on the hurt that Daddy inflicted many years ago?
You hold the nail, you take the hammer, and you pound that bitch right into the 2x4. And if Angel Adam is correct, then just go to your dad's house and give him one.
Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Angel Adam, Devil Danny, 866-901-ADAM.
Now, as the promo said when we come into this, I think we've started to wander off the moral dilemma. People are asking us business questions that you don't need an angel or a devil. You need an attorney. Well, okay, a devil. But you know what I mean? There is a, if you are having a moral quandary, rather whether you should do the right thing in Angel Adam's department, which means just do the right thing, or you should do the right thing in the Devil Danny department, which is win at all costs, no matter what it does to your fellow man. That's what you're calling about.
Right. All right, you ready to get started, Bald Brian? Play the intro.
Got a moral dilemma? Ask Angel Adam.
Do not cheat in wedlock. It will haunt you.
Or Devil Danny.
Climbing over their corpses to the top of the food chain.
Let's start with Jason. Jason?
Yes?
Dilemma, please.
Morning.
Morning.
Listen to you guys, and I really like the show. I just wanted to say hi to Teresa, Danny, and Adam.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, Jason.
My dilemma is that my girlfriend and I are virgins, and we're waiting for marriage. I'm not sure if she's the one, and I'm getting really anxious.
Well, let's get a little backstory on you. How old are you, Jason?
I am 30.
And are you guys
retarded?
Waiting for... Wait, how old is she?
You're that nerd.
She's 23.
Mm-hmm. And you're 30 years of age and a virgin.
Go ahead, Angel.
Now,
we need more data.
Do you have a UFO website?
Can I ask this? No. Obviously, you've done some things.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Backdoor mainly. Hey, still technically a virgin. Hey, Jason, are you a religious man?
Yes.
And what's your religion?
Christian.
Okay.
All right.
And 30.
Yes.
And you're not sure if she's the one?
No.
Yeah. If I passed a knot hole, it would be the one if I waited until I was 30.
Have at it, Angel.
All right. All right.
This is trouble.
I dare you.
All right. Let me, okay, so recapping. Jason, 30. Girlfriend, 23. Both virgins. So the girlfriend says.
Recapping actually means trying to think how to get the hell out of this one.
And they want to know whether or not, or Jason wants to know whether or not to get married. Wait a minute, quickly. How long have you been seeing each other?
A year and a half. Actually, my question was, should I break the commitment and just, you know, go for it?
Okay. Okay. So should he have sex out of wedlock? Here we go, Jason. Young. I mean, not so young. Yeah. I mean, almost middle-aged virgin. Jason, to ask now at age 30, after you've waited your entire adult life, to actually have intercourse if you should stop now would be like asking me after running 26 miles of a marathon, you stopping and saying, well, should I go ahead and complete the 0.2 miles I have left? I can see the finish line. It's off in the distance. I feel fresh. I'm not out of wind. I'm not cramping up. Should I finish it now, or should I just go ahead and stop here and drown my sorrows in Gatorade? Obviously, my child, if I saw you that close to the finish line, I would say, son, just walk forward, stumble forward, crawl if you have to, but cross that finish line. That's the goal, and the finish line for you, my son, is matrimony, and then you literally finish in the church. When I say finish, when I say finish line, I mean when he says, I now do. Pronounce you, somewhere in that sentence, I want to hear, and then you go, there'll be no honeymoon. All right, Devil Danny, what do you say?
First thing I say is useless advice, but very funny. All right, my friend, let's start with Angel Adams' marathon analogy. You're only a couple of feet from the finish line, but in this case, you don't know what awaits you at the finish line. Adam knows that the finish line awaits you at the finish line. You might run into a lawn chipper. You might be the only guy smart enough not to fall off the edge of the world into a lawn chipper at the end of this marathon because you just said you don't know if she is the one. Let's make another analogy. I don't know if steak is the food I want. Mm-hmm. So I won't eat anything till I decide. Which means, my friend, you are going to starve to death or eat meat. Speaking of meat, you have a girlfriend right there waiting on you. Practice or your plumbing's going to back up. You won't be able to do it anyway.
Wow. So you're saying,
The penis is a muscle and it will atrophy. Get to work.
Uh-huh. Easy on the meat, though. I mean... meat's another viable option for Jason. I mean, show me a 30-year-old virgin. I'll show you a guy that may have had a craving for meat many years ago but decided to become vegan because he was scared of his feelings when he entered the Sizzler.
There's a stupid,
not a bad
funny,
name for a gay bar.
A ridiculous comedy called 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Yeah.
And do you know what the sequel is going to be called? Jason.
Okay?
Yeah. Get to work.
You're gay for saying that.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk to Nadia. Nadia?
Hi.
Your dilemma, please, my dear.
Well, I have this guy friend that I've been close to for years, and now he has a girl, and I want him back.
Mm-hmm. And when you say want him back, he was just a guy friend.
Well, it was more than that. I could have had him. It was just I was being a bit... Whoops, my bad.
Yeah. no, okay, hold on. Let me just make sure I know what went on here. He was interested in you.
Right.
You were interested in him being interested in you, but not that interested in him.
Right.
Women put you in one of three categories. They will either not be interested in you, which is the humane thing to do, or they will take an interest in your interest in them. Hey, I dig that. This guy's making me feel really good. As a matter of fact, he's almost built me up enough to date guys that are out of my league, not him. So they're women that like you being interested in them, and then the third category is they are actually interested in you. You're in the second category. It feels like you'd like to go to the third category because you're missing the second category. As soon as you got attention from him, I'm sure you'd be back to where you were 6 months earlier. I don't know, Nadia. I'm torn about giving you good advice on this one because I feel like you'd abuse it. I feel like if you got the guy back, you would end up just playing him along like you did before. Are you really interested in this guy now or only interested because he's out of your life?
Okay, to be real, I would have to say just because I don't have him.
Right.
So what's your actual question then?
Like, should I actually put the effort in, try and get him back?
To get him back or to injure your friend because you don't really care? Be clear on this, please.
Say that again. What?
Now, I think Angel Adam made a really excellent point here. I hate to admit it, but your question, as I read it, is should I steal my best friend back?
Right.
That's a question I can help answer. But when Angel Adam said, do you really want him or are you going to play him? You've already answered my devil question, which is yes, of course, get him back and play him. Who cares? We don't care about him. We care about you. You called the devil. There's your answer. So if your answer is, I just want to play him, you've already got your devil's answer. Get him, play him, thump him.
Hey, Nadia.
Nadia's confusing
I know.
You know where I am right now? Purgatory.
I know. I basically did the same shtick minus the music, and so did Danny, which is... I felt bad trying to come up with ways for her to get this guy back, although I probably should have just bent my answer to say don't get the guy back. But right. It brings us to a bigger topic. Yeah. Screw Nadia for a second here.
Everybody else is doing it.
You have to ask yourself in any environment, any situation, why didn't you do it at the time?
Yeah.
You know these people that hung around somebody for 2 years, knew that other person was interested, now they finally moved on, they're out of your life, and you're saying to yourself, why didn't I realize it at the time?
Yeah.
I think you did.
Yeah.
I think you don't realize it now. Now you're feeling insecure and you're feeling needy because the person's gone.
Yeah.
You had 2 years to hang out with somebody. You sampled his platter.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You spun his relish tray around 1,000 times. You never like where it stopped.
Yeah.
You don't. You'll never get purer than that.
Yeah.
You weren't interested. Why are you trying to get something back in your life that you clearly weren't interested in? And how little do you know yourself? How rudimentary is your understanding of yourself that you don't even know you didn't want something?
I think it's the forceful pull of rejection. Once somebody's rejected you, then suddenly they seem so much more attractive.
Right. But this was supposed to be a question of love the way both Angel and Adam and Devil Danny interpreted it, and it wasn't. It was a question of winning and losing. Nobody
likes
winning and losing. Gretchen has asked for a divorce, and her feelings weren't hurt. She won. You know what I mean? That's all that was.
The guy moved forward.
Yeah.
Leave him alone and don't draw him back. That's what you call, that's called a bad person. That makes you a bad person. Speaking of bad people, T.
Yeah.
The news. What's coming up in it?
Well, another arguably bad person, John Mark Carr. Remember the guy who said he killed JonBenet?
No, I don't remember us ever talking about him.
We rarely talk about him. he's not only sticking by his story, he's now engaged.
Well, good times. I have things to talk about regarding John Mark Carr as well. No time for the outro. Quick break. Back with the news next.
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. Stick around this morning for gender reassignment surgeon Dr. Gary Alter. Adam's buddy Oswaldo will come in to review Superbad. Music Monday focuses on the songs you wouldn't want to hear when a guy picks up your daughter for her first date. All that, plus we'll speak with Prisoner David, who's doing 25 to life in a California state penitentiary for conspiracy to commit murder. Phone number's 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, now to my official favorite part of the show, Teresa Strasser. Not her, per se, but my thoughts on her news.
My favorite Teresa part of Teresa Strasser.
Yeah.
With tomorrow's news. Today.
Well, I'll be very interested in your thoughts about this story, which is sure to get a lot of talk today and be very controversial. A 32-year-old single mother, an illegal immigrant from Mexico, was arrested yesterday here in Los Angeles. She has been taking sanctuary in a Chicago church since last year.
Mijo!
She does not want to be separated from her 8-year-old U.S.-born son. Now, she's really become the human face for immigrant rights groups about stepped-up enforcement efforts that frequently separate immigrant mothers and fathers from American-born children. According to a report released in 2006, there are at least 3.1 million children in the U.S. who have one or more parents in this country illegally. So the question is, what do you do? Now, of course, some people are saying if she wants to be with her son, she can take him back to Mexico. She broke the law. She was working under a false social security number. She should be deported. She should go home. And then, of course, immigrants' rights groups are saying that we shouldn't separate illegal immigrants from their American-born children.
I don't particularly care if he came in the country illegally. You should be kicked out. But I always believed, and I guess correct me if I'm wrong, that if the child was born in America, the child was an American
citizen. That's
right. Citizen.
He's an American citizen. She is
not. Then the mother, the caregiver of an American citizen, should be, I believe, up until recently, legally, given the right to take care of that child. But since 9/11, things have changed. My brother can't get his wife into this country. My brother's an American born and raised and only moved to Mexico a few years ago. And is having a nightmare getting her into this country.
Well, it's because he's trying to do it legally.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. They can
her
walk
off
across the border.
She just crawl into the gas tank of a van, and she'll be here in no time.
Right, exactly true.
She entered illegally, and she was arrested and later convicted.
Well, look, there is a heart-tugging story for just about every decision we have to make. I mean, look. This country's like some embassy that everybody else is trying to get into.
Absolutely.
And you're at the gate, and there are people yelling, please, my children, and they're trying to push their kids over the gate.
Yeah.
And they're tugging, and they're grabbing. Now, here's the problem. There are thousands of people, millions of people, trying to get into our embassy. Why do they want our embassy?
Because it's the best.
Because it's the best. Why is it the best? Because we have a gate around it. Because if we take down the gate, then it becomes the crappy embassy with you crashing on the lawn. That's the problem. The reason it's the best is we let little bits and pieces in who help us build our embassy.
Right.
And once in a while, an extra couple guys to mow the lawn, but then they have to go back into their embassy.
What about your poor huddled masses?
Too many now. We didn't know the rest of the world was going to F themselves up this badly.
Right. Okay.
Now here's the thing. Everyone loves to call me a xenophobe for bringing up these very, what I consider to be truths when it comes to points. Mexico is crappy because Mexicans effed it up. That's the answer for why Mexico's crappy. It's not because we effed it up. They can't blame slavery or the white man on this one. Mexicans messed up Mexico. The government did. The people did. I don't know who to blame it on other than Mexicans. They messed up a place called Mexico. It's got the name right in it.
I heard that, right.
Mexico, Mexicans. They screwed it up. They don't put an emphasis on education. And they don't put an emphasis on many things that we put an emphasis on in this country. Now, we can absorb a certain amount of people from this screwed up place called Mexico. And when you go, how dare you call Mexico screwed up? Well, who's trying to get over here desperately, and who's not fleeing your way, number one? So I think we can agree, if it's not effed up, then for some mysterious reason, everyone wants to leave and come to our place. And then two, you go, you can't blame the people. Well, who lives there? You tell me what tribe lives on Mexican soil. Mexicans live on Mexican soil. There's something they're doing there that's not right. Now, if we absorb tons and tons of their people, then we will become the place inhabited by the people that doesn't do something right. Or at least in our mind, it ain't right. And it's not right in their mind either. Otherwise, it wouldn't be trying to get here. Look, I don't judge. You want to do what you want to do in your place? Look, we put a line in the desert.
I'm not self-centered.
Here's what we do.
I just wanted to say a bunch of crap, too.
I'm not insecure.
So should we try this again? Look, I don't judge.
You can be funny without making fun of someone else.
I don't judge. You put a stripe in the desert, and you say, you folks stay on that side, and we'll stay on this side. And you say, all right, on our side, we like cockfighting, and we like cranking out a bunch of kids, and we don't put an emphasis on education, and you can get whatever you want at the pharmacy, and you can't sue anybody. And we go, fine, do your own thing. Knock yourselves out. As a matter of fact, I like you guys being there, because once in a while, I want to pick something up from a pharmacy. And I don't have a prescription, and I like to pick up some fireworks every once in a while. So I like you guys being where you are. But, here's what happened. Your no laws and your corrupt government has caused the economy to fall apart.
Right.
Now you want to come on our side of the line. And it's not just to buy fireworks and then go back to your side and blow them up. You want to stay here, and you want to set up shop. And now I say, all right, I'm going to take a few of you. But when we start turning our side of the line into your side of the line, Well, now we got a problem.
Yeah. When you move the Maginot Line too close to L.A., yes, okay, I'll give you that. I grant you that.
Obviously, we're going to have a problem because you took the exact same culture that effed up their country and you're setting it up here. What? Tons of kids. What? No birth control. What? No education or no emphasis on education. Pow, we're effed up too.
And also, they do in fact have the same geology and climate. There's nothing you can blame.
Yes.
You can say, well, we don't have any natural resources. The weather is so bad here, we're in the frozen tundra. None of that is true. Most of the Mexico that I travel to is L.A. and San Diego.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Puerto Vallarta, the Yucatan Peninsula, Cabo San Lucas. You know, things can go real well there as long as Americans are still coming there and spending their money.
So, just like the embassy analogy of 10 minutes ago, sorry, there's a bunch of crying mothers and a bunch of kids trying to be pushed over the gates. We only have enough room in our embassy, and if we open the gates, it'll be flooded with humanity. And we'll all get trampled.
Arguably, yes, it is flooded because there are, some say, 12 million people in the U.S. illegally right now.
Yeah, oh, so yeah. Here's
that's
the deal.
That's a flood.
Let's deal.
There'll be 13 million.
We have a whole bunch of laws on the books. All we need to do is enforce them. And then once you realize you can't flee your crappy country, you will, and more importantly, your government will be forced to create an environment so that you don't go take to the streets and burn down the Capitol building.
Again.
As it is now, you can just bleed over in our country and then send money back to your corrupt government.
Meanwhile, as you said, no. Adam, hard not to feel
hold
for
on
this
a
woman.
Second. Hold
yes.
on. Karen?
Yeah.
How say you, my dear?
Well, this is, if you could call me baby girl, I'd love that.
Okay, baby doll, what's up?
I love that. God, that's Teresa. Doesn't that just do it for you?
You know, I do enjoy that. Must say.
All right.
I'm sorry.
So when
okay.
I say, hey, hoser, it does nothing for you?
Danny, you're all fabulous. Okay, here's the deal. If we were kids going across the world going, we're number one, we're fabulous, it's right here, oh my God. If we would quit doing that, if we would tell them, you know, it's not that great. Nobody's breaking down the gates of Madagascar. And
I
sure
see.
That place is fabulous. But if we quit going around going, it's so great here, it's so fabulous, we're consumers, we have everything. If we would just tell them, it's not that great. It's good.
Right.
So
but,
basically,
you
want to do the Viking strategy.
Right,
you
want to
call
Iceland.
Greenland, but it really sucks there and it's all covered in ice, and call Iceland when it's really green there and very nice. You want to trick people into not coming here.
Is that
here
why they did it?
Yeah.
Smart.
Isn't that smart?
Yeah.
The Vikings. Even
mm-hmm.
if all they have to show is flavor.
Yeah,
right
but
now.
The Vikings didn't.
You're good.
Here's the thing. Their neighbors didn't have the internet.
Right.
And satellite TV.
Yeah, we can't hide how great
they
it is.
They watch MTV for 10 minutes and they know it's on like Donkey Kong
yeah.
over here.
Yes. They know we have a thing called Spring Break
mm-hmm.
and Girls Gone Wild. Let's
look,
get to this country.
Why? I don't understand. I seem to be one of the only people I know is willing to speak my mind about this, even though everyone sort of quietly thinks about it. This isn't racist. I love this country. I don't have a problem with other countries until they make this country their country. Mexico is a society that embraces a lot of values that we don't think are values. They have a lifestyle that we don't like. It's no different than a neighbor who moves in and, you know, likes to park a sofa on the lawn and throw parties all night. We don't want those guys hanging out at our house. It's pure and simple. Thus, we're going to put a nice high hedge up and a fence and get a dog.
Right.
And then when you go, hey man, why don't you let those biker guys come across the thing? You're all of a sudden racist because you're not letting the thing that they're... Look, if you think about how racist they call this country, how much problems the races that are different than our own, other than white, but who take the messages that we have, I mean, the lifestyle or the work ethic that we have when we bring it here, is there a big problem with those races? I mean, I'm thinking Asian. For the most part, how much discrimination since World War II, really,
right.
has there been? I mean, you show me, and there's Eastern Indian, and there's whatever. Look, you say, look, here's the deal. We love our kids. We don't get drunk too much, and we love education. Then we say, come on down and help us with our space program, and we don't discriminate that much against you. So all of a sudden, we're discriminating, but we're really discriminating against a lifestyle, not against the color of the skin.
Yes, and there are many things about the culture that are beautiful and that people celebrate. There are just some negative ones that you're discussing.
See, actually, I go to them. Yeah. I do. I think what Adam enjoys is I go to Mexico and abuse it.
Sure.
Right. I'm not kidding. I go there and I do all the stuff they won't let me do here because they've effed up their society enough that I can go to any pharmacy I want and I can buy illegal things, including people, if I so choose. And so I abuse Mexico back. So I feel even Steven with them.
Right. Quid pro quo with you. Well, Adam, you initiated the conversation by saying it's hard not to feel for this 32-year-old single mother. She was working cleaning airplanes at O'Hare International Airport when she was busted for using the false social security number. And now, of course, she doesn't want to be separated from her 8-year-old son, which is why she's been hiding out. At this point, according to the LA Times, she is being held. They won't say where. And she will be deported to Mexico.
Oh, who's going to clean that airplane? Do you think we can find it? It is the height of arrogance by rich white liberal people to do that. Do you think you're going to get a white guy? Hell yes.
Yes, hello. My name is Graham.
It's called
Wellington.
A poor guy. It's called a guy whose parents weren't both attorneys living on the south side of Los Angeles, you homos. It's poor people. You don't think there's such thing as white poor people? You want to talk about bigoted? Who's going to pick that cabbage? Who's going to mow that lawn? Who's going to... Me and Ray and my buddy Chris and every other one of our J.O. buddies who grew up in North Hollywood whose parents live in an apartment didn't give a good rat's ass about their kids. That's who will do it. And we'll do it for about 2 years, and then hopefully we'll move on.
And you'll be replaced by other poor white
you,
guys.
You guys want to have these people born into indentured servitude. Yeah. You want the same Mexican guy working at the same fast food place until he's in his 80s. Who's racist, you hypocritical a-holes?
To your point, my pops, who's not only white, but a Jew, makes $8 an hour.
Get me started.
He makes $8 an hour.
What?
Yes. How'd you get so effed up?
I don't know, but I'm telling
Jewish
you.
Jewish with a black stepdad and a broke Jewish father.
There are broke white people who could use jobs.
Well, it's the craziest thing in the world. It's like, you're making this proclamation. Who's going to do all these low-paying jobs that are tedious? Who's going to do all the back-breaking? Poor people of all colors.
Yep.
Now, you tell me there's not a white human being who's poor, and then we can talk.
Yes.
Now we can say, all right, all white, all people with blue eyes and fair skin are officially rich. Who's going to mow the lawns? Because they're 9 feet tall. There's Everglades in there. I saw there was a guy with a still in my front line and an alligator in there. Then we can start talking about it. As long as there's poor people.
Yeah.
Who did all the poor people work before the borders opened up? Poor people.
And by the way, when Jesus was asked why he spent so much, or that Mary spent so much money on the ointment for his feet, he said, quote, it's in your Bible, ladies and gentlemen, we will always have the poor among us. So Adam's right. There will always be somebody to do that job. And that's, I'm going to go with my reference on the Bible on this one, rather than technical books that say how many people are bleeding into this country compared to how many poor Americans there are. Adam is flatly correct on this one.
Thank you.
Yes. There are many, many poor white people. But I think we all agree that this woman, you feel
our
for her.
Hearts go out to her. Now send her back.
My heart goes out to her and a plane ticket.
Right.
Now, as for John Mark Carr. Just when you think you've heard the last of him. Mm. Now, he's the guy who creeped out a nation when he decided to tell us that he had killed JonBenet Ramsey. Well, he was exonerated by DNA evidence, but he still insists that he killed JonBenet Ramsey. He became very famous for a moment there.
Mm.
And he was in jail a couple months. Now he's living in his father's house.
Mm-hmm.
And he got a lot of mail when he was in the news from various sociopaths.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, I don't know if she's a sociopath, but seems rather strange. She's a 23-year-old. She's named Brooke Simmons, and she fell in love with John Mark Carr from afar. She wrote him a note of support after reading about him in the press. She then went to visit him. Now they've moved in together. They're inseparable. They're engaged. She has a 3-year-old daughter.
If she's hot, I'm going to kill myself because there's a very good chance that she's hot. When you hear about these chicks that date these guys in prison or are attracted to these nut jobs, you're always like, oh, please, this nut job. And then you see her and you're like, are you kidding me?
I saw her photo in yesterday's New York Post.
And
she's 5'2". She looks very, very young, and she's attractive.
Okay. I have a theory on that one. Some of these guys aren't as stupid as they appear. The girl that marries this guy, the girl that married the Menendez brother, yeah. they end up with their pictures in the paper and it giving interviews on news. Mm-hmm. They're attractive. My guess is, as often as not, they're A, a nut, but B, an actress.
Saying. They're looking for attention.
Yeah. Well, she's definitely getting attention. She also believes, by the way.
If it'll help, I'll marry Carr. You know, if it'll help the ratings at all or boost my career at all, I'll marry this guy right now.
Well, let me just tell you the rest of the story because it gets more disturbing.
Yeah.
She also believes that he killed JonBenet. And the three of them, and sometimes her daughter, go to JonBenet's grave and also to Patsy Ramsey's grave.
All right. Hold on a second, T. We got to take a break. My head is swimming. I have so many things to say about this. I have the clip from CNN I heard this morning that I'll sort of corroborate what Therese is saying. I have much to say about this, and plus we have the rest of the news.
Ah.
We have the camel humping a woman.
That is one of the most disturbing bestiality stories I've seen in months.
Well, then I'm going to feel bad for laughing during it.
Yeah, me too.
We got Elvis and his daughter doing a duet.
Yeah, have you heard that?
No. Do we have that taste? All right, we'll do that, and we'll finish this John Mark Carr business next.
And now, the Adam Carolla Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
Tonight, texting and driving, just how dangerous is it? Teens hit the road and put it to the test.
That's a great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, speaking of news, Teresa Strasser and the rest of her news.
We were talking about John Mark Carr, who insisted that he had killed JonBenet Ramsey, but was exonerated by DNA evidence. He's back in the news.
Let me say this. DNA.
Yeah.
Another one of my pet peeves. Everyone freaked out about the government collecting this DNA and then locking up the entire populace of the United States. More people have been exonerated by DNA evidence than have been locked up by DNA evidence at this point. So I'd like the government to have my DNA, not because I'm scared they're going to throw me in jail for a crime I didn't do. I want them to use it to say I wasn't there.
Wasn't there.
If you're innocent, you should have 95% of your body excited about DNA, and then the 5% thinking, I wonder if I'll get railroaded by the man. But most of you, if you're innocent, you should be for DNA.
Well, you know, it's funny because I used to be forced to give fluids for 6 years while I was on probation. Mm-hmm. And when that was over, and we talked about this one day, I got real indignant about it. And you said to me, you know, whenever I see a guy getting really indignant about whether he's guilty or innocent, I just assume he's guilty or he wouldn't get all indignant about it. And since then, I decided, you know, Carolla's right once again. And I said, okay, I'll do whatever it is that you want me to do. That's fine. That's the smartest thing I ever heard. I didn't think about that. Because I don't want the man spying on me. I'm an American and I have rights and I'm not a criminal till you prove me one. But the way to prove you're not one is to give the DNA up early. So you can say, check your DNA. I gave it to you when I was born.
John Mark Carr probably would have been locked up 30 years ago or 25 or 50 or even 10 or whenever the DNA stuff was in its infancy. He would have been locked up, I assume. I assume that if you say you're guilty and you know enough details and we don't have much in the forensic evidence and DNA doesn't exist, he probably would have been locked up, and then we'd have the wrong guy spending his entire time in jail instead of the real killer of JonBenet, O.J.
Right.
I happen to know he killed her.
Well, it ties a lot of things together.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here is how he met his new fiance. As I was saying, this 23-year-old wrote him a card after he'd been released from jail and was living with his dad, saying, I'm sorry for what your family is going through. She wrote down some Bible verses and her contact information.
Mm-hmm.
He called to say thank you. They talked for hours. They exchanged emails and photos.
Mm.
And she
says, he unzipped the fly of his pants, looked at the photo, and said, wow, that's what he uses the fly as a viewing port.
Right.
His pants are so,
so high.
So high, yes, that's how he talks.
Well, he said that she said that his honesty melted her heart. Then they had a face-to-face meeting. She went to his apartment.
Hold on. If you say you killed somebody, you're being honest. Right. But if you say you killed somebody and you didn't kill them, then you're not being honest. You're the biggest liar on the planet.
This is the biggest catch-22 for this girl. If you killed somebody and you're honest, you also killed somebody.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If you killed somebody and didn't really do it, you're crazy, you know, and a liar.
Danny, it is a bit of a conundrum, isn't it?
It's a tad of a conundrum. Mm.
So, their first date, he said spaghetti would be good.
Mm-hmm.
And she cooked him some spaghetti. She was very nervous. He watched her make the spaghetti, and she fell hard for, quote, Carr's watery blue eyes and facial symmetry, according to the New York Post.
Oh, my God. She actually said facial symmetry?
Yes! According to the New York Post, she then said, I'm attracted to him physically. He's a good-looking guy. His eyes and mouth. I love his mouth.
You're so ugly, you could be a modern art masterpiece.
She moved in. Mm. She also couldn't find a job in her home state of Louisiana.
So, let me get this straight. Born again? Or very deeply religious?
She did send Bible verses.
Very deeply religious, probably born again, into John Mark Carr, definitely was molested.
And will be on the Today Show within a week.
Well, let's say this.
She's an abuse victim.
She's
an alcoholic.
5'2", and according to Carr, she often likes to shop in the juniors department because the clothes are in her size. And at one point, they were out, and someone saw, you know, John Mark Carr and this girl who looked like a teenager and called the cops. The cops showed up. Turns out she's of age, but she looks very young. Now,
I would have read the pony, Dad.
I don't know if you remember this from his arrest, but he has an interesting backstory. At 19, he married his first wife, who was 13. Carr admits the marriage was illegal, but he blames his wife's mother for forcing them to wed. His second marriage at age 24 was to a 16-year-old. Carr said the marriage was legal since Georgia law allows a pregnant 16-year-old to marry.
The movie sucked.
Georgia
Jane
law.
Fonda was,
that was Georgia rule.
Huh? All I know is Jane Fonda was horrible in there.
I was thinking Deliverance, sorry.
Georgia law. Look. I don't know. At what point do we let this guy tap out? You know, when do we apply the mercy rule, the slaughter rule? Can't we just dart this guy?
I swear to God, you let me.
Where's the slaughter rule in life? You know what I'm saying? I mean, look, you see your kids playing Little League. They get down 15 to nothing, and it's the fifth inning, and some coach just comes up there and goes, look, fellas, let's put an end to this.
Yeah.
Let's just do that with John Mark Carr. And she has a three-year-old.
Yeah.
Here's what I know without knowing. I know she was abused.
Yep.
She was probably sexually abused. Yep. That's why she's born again, and that's why she's attracted to this guy. She has a three-year-old. I would love to get the backstory on who Papa is, and these guys may have other kids. If not, he's just going to screw up this kid. Is this not grounds enough to remove your child? For the love of Christ, we just passed a law where you can't smoke in your effing car with somebody under 18. For the love of effing Christ, they're going to screw up this three-year-old more than Bonaducci climbed into a phone booth with a kid and never stopped smoking until the kid hit puberty. Believe me, this will F them up. And we're a society that loves to focus on the little things, because when we focus on the little things like secondhand smoke in cars with your kids, it's as if we don't have any big problems like super effed up victims crapping out kids to then create a new generation of victims. Thank you. The more you know.
Do you follow me around? How do you know all this stuff
sometimes
about me? I have a one-bedroom apartment, a little tiny thing in the Palazzo since I got kicked out.
Yeah.
And I spent my first weekend with my daughters, me and her alone, hanging out.
Yeah.
Not only did I smoke in the one room, but I lit an incense to fill more smoke so the first smoke wouldn't stink. When she started wheezing, I said, you should probably stay out in the hallway until I'm done.
Father
it's like
of the year.
Man knows me.
Yes.
Once again, eluding Father of the Year honors, Danny Bonaducci.
Right.
Damn.
Mm.
Now, let me just tell you what John Mark Carr is doing with some of his free time. He's tight on money. Now, apparently it's difficult to get work as a school teacher after you've told everybody that you killed a child.
Mm.
So,
yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Doesn't look good on the resume.
Only thing he's got left is publicist.
Yeah, maybe he could still do that.
He'd be a hero amongst those people. First off, he's straight. Sure, he likes 9-year-olds,
right?
But he's straight.
Sure.
So he'd be the only straight publicist. And he has, not in life, but for publicists, he has integrity.
Right. He attempts to tell the truth.
Yeah.
Even if it's diluted.
I'd like John Mark Carr to be my publicist.
Hi, this is John Mark Carr calling for Adam Carolla.
Not for Adam Carolla, but actually on behalf of.
I think Adam would be great on your show. Money is tight, so he mainly relies on money from his 85-year-old father. and he lives frugally, eating cheap clothes and borrowing, eating cheap food and borrowing clothes from his brothers. Now, you may remember the black slip-on shoes that he was wearing when he was arrested in Thailand.
Sure, saw him at the Smithsonian.
Yeah, still wearing
those. Weekend, yeah. Right next to Archie's chair.
And John Travolta's suit.
That's right.
And my lunchbox.
And Danny's lunchbox.
So for fun, he goes to the grocery store and reads magazines like Cosmo.
That's great.
He browses.
That's what he needs. He needs visibility. And what about the dad? You've not cut that kid off yet?
Well, he lives with the dad.
I know. Like, what's it going to take for you to pull the allowance back off the table? The guy's what, 30?
John Mark Carr's 42.
42?
Yeah.
Damn, those pedophiles look great.
Yeah, I know.
They do hold up well.
You know what it is? Now I know.
What?
You know when they do those things every once in a while, they show the picture of the person, and then they show the person after they've been on the crack pipe or on the speed, and they go, here's the first time they were booked, and here's them 18 months later. It looks like they've aged 10 years, and then they show them another year down the road, and it looks like they've aged 30 years. I'd like to see what an average pedophile looks like just next to a heterosexual family man. You got the kids running around. You got the old lady riding you like a rented mule. Your hair goes gray prematurely. You get all these worry lines in your face. The pedophile's brand new. First off, they never see the light of day.
Right.
They don't have to go outside and spend time with their family or do any of that. Second thing is, they don't have that weight of the world. Like, Jesus Christ, the one kid needs braces. The other kid wants a pony. And the other kid wants to go to some sort of hoity-toity summer camp. They want to go to space camp in Cape Canaveral. Jesus Christ, how much is that going to cost me? They don't have all that. They look brand new. The gays look new, but the pedophiles, I think, look even newer.
Newer.
I would love just to... Look, forget about all the creams. Forget about
Please,
all the plastic
I'd really
surgery.
Like to.
You get into 9-year-olds for 10 years. That'll shave 20 years off your look.
Well, there may be a little theory on that, and that is, as a father of a 12-year-old girl, I am constantly hearing about the nightmare ahead of me that I am going to have to live through for the next 5 to 10 years as she hits a certain age, and it's just going to drive me crazy. It's going to be a horror show. As a pedophile, you just get to kill them around then.
Right.
Right.
You don't have to suffer through that horror show that everybody tells me is coming.
How about a nice father-daughter story to go out
that
on?
That would be nice.
Elvis Presley. Was recently
we ain't going out on this. We're going out on a nice Mother Camel story. Yes.
Oh, all right on, homie.
Oh, it's a terrible story. So first, something nice to cleanse the palate of John Mark Carr. Elvis Presley and his daughter, Lisa Marie, have released one of these duets.
In the ghetto.
One of these live dead duets. Isn't this a great song? I think this is my favorite Elvis song.
Great
Especially
song.
To be able to be pulled up by a white guy, man.
In the ghetto.
So here's the duet with Lisa Marie. And his
mama cried. That's a great voice, man.
Cause if there's one thing that she don't need, it's another hungry mouth to feed. In the ghetto.
It's been covered many times.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a cover of the In the Ghetto that I enjoy.
In the ghetto, on the cold and gray Chicago moon, another little baby child is born in the ghetto. In the ghetto.
Cartman.
And mama cries.
Even Cartman gets me.
A moving rendition. Even when Cartman sings it, it's moving.
Let me say this about Lisa Marie. She has more money than God because Elvis' estate is worth billions of dollars.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys make money from the grave like you can't believe.
Number one dead entertainment earner.
Yeah.
For 10 years in a row. And kills Marilyn, so to speak. Kills Hendrix.
She knows, and she's she's kissed into that. They own it. So she's rich beyond belief and will continue to be rich beyond belief. So then you say, well, why do you keep working if you're rich beyond belief? And she says, I'm an artist. I want to do my thing. Well, perhaps you should do your thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Perhaps you shouldn't just sing with your dead dad.
I know.
I mean, if you want to do your thing, if you want to establish yourself as an artist, if you have more money than God and you only need to work to fulfill that little void in you that says, I want to be taken seriously as an artist, why are you getting back with your dead dad and singing? The only reason you're famous is because of your dad. Do you want to keep reminding us of that? I thought the whole idea was to move forward. You know, Nick Cage, who very creepily married her for about 10 minutes because he was a big Elvis fan, He changed his last name.
Yeah, he's a Coppola.
He's a Coppola. Yeah. He said, hey, I can act, and I want to make it on my own.
Right.
So one of them's me. The other's not you.
Some of his best work from Con Air to date, by the way. So he said, I'm going to name myself Cage. It's not going to be Coppola, and I'm going to try to make it on my own, and I'm not going to bring up my rich uncle's name when I go do it. And he didn't, and God bless him for that.
Emilio Estevez?
That's right.
Change didn't use his dad's name?
That's right.
Okay. It's there's no more stalling. I have to get to this camel story.
Mm-hmm.
It's very unfortunate. Back in March, a woman in Mitchell, which is in rural Australia, was celebrating her 60th birthday. Her name has not been released. And as a present, her husband and daughter gave her a brand new pet camel.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
The camel was 5 months old and weighed 330 pounds.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
Well, on Saturday, the camel killed the woman. Mm-hmm. It knocked her to the ground and got on top of her. According to Craig Gregory, a detective who's investigating the death, the camel was displaying mating behavior and was trying to mate with the woman,
mm-hmm.
but ended up crushing her and killing her almost instantly.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the investigator says the camel almost suffocated the family's pet goat by straddling it on several occasions.
Well, the word hump is right in the title when you talk about camels.
Camel.
I mean, you should have seen this one coming.
Some have two.
By hump.
Remember that song? Mm-hmm. Midnight at the Oasis, hump your camel to death, I think is how that went.
That's right.
Midnight at the Oasis. Yeah.
Well, there's no word.
Hump your camel to death. Yeah, it's a good song. Yeah. I didn't know that's how the words went.
Oh, that was that.
Huh.
That was that. There's no
prophetic.
Word.
Prophetic.
Yep. No word on whether the camel is going to be put down.
I feel bad.
Put down? He's what he bragged about.
The people that tried to have sex with animals and got killed by the animals.
That's on them.
I have a nice big laugh, but when the animal is on
it's
you.
It's not as funny.
It's not,
except
it's
for that
not
one,
nearly as funny.
Except for that one pit bull bear that happens with.
But here, yes. But look here. My hump.
Nice work, Big Brian.
Here's the moral of the story.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to take these animals and make pets out of them. Nope. You make dogs and cats. And maybe a hamster and a goldfish a pet. Stop taking the stuff that weighs as much as 5 grown men and making it pets. All you guys that want to hang out with grizzly bears, and then one day the grizzly bear turns on the owner.
Everybody's all shocked.
I'm shocked that didn't happen 3 years ago, you old F. That's my point with the grizzly bears and the tigers and the camels. It's you're not Noah.
Yeah.
Let them just let the Arabs ride around on those things. You get yourself a nice schnauzer.
Do you know what I said about 20 years ago, and it turned out to be just a little early? I remember distinctly, I think I was just in my living room, and I yelled, Roy, look out, it's a tiger.
That's right.
He wouldn't listen. 20
wouldn't
years
listen.
Later, dragged off by the throat.
Well, if you think about it this way. Every animal displays some sort of mating whatever.
Yeah.
It's just they're doing it on a throw pillow
right.
or your shin, and you kick it off because it's 22 pounds worth of lap dog. This thing weighs 500 pounds, and now you're screwed. So when you have a grizzly bear and it displays mating behavior, well, you just become essentially an 180-pound orifice that it gets to smother
right.
and then have sex with a corpse. I hope I go that way. God willing, I keep the Corolla tradition alive. But the old Ulysses Corolla, one of the greats in the past, went that way.
Yes.
Old general
that's
from the Civil
say.
War. But if you have something that's 18 pounds, well, then you just kick it.
Right.
So
right.
if you can't kick this thing when it's trying to hump you and get it to go away, then it's too big for
right.
your house.
Right.
No, to a 1,000-pound grizzly bear in heat, we're just flesh-covered vibrators.
That's right.
We're just toys to be used at their will. And because we are breakable, we die from this. But
right.
they don't think they're doing anything bad. We're just something to play with.
Well, perhaps the only good news is that she did die instantly. From a super.
No, there's other good news. I just invented the flesh covered vibrator.
From a
I'm
going to
be rich.
From a super bad story to super bad, the movie at the box office, super bad number one, 31.2 million. Adam predicted it. Number two, Rush Hour 3 with 21.8 million. Rounding out the top three, The Bourne Ultimatum with 19 million, bringing it up to a total of $164 million in box office
nice.
In its third week. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that is the news.
Tomorrow's news, today, Teresa Strasser, CNN.
Good times. Dr. Alter next. Who's Dr. Alter? He's a man I met many years ago who seems a little quackish, but as it turns out, is a genius, written many books on gender reassignment surgery, has a dual accreditation in plastic surgery and...
Urology?
Yeah, ear, nose, and chode, I think is what they
Ear, nose, and junk?
Ear, nose, and junk. Yeah, he mixed it up a little.
No, he's a urologist and plastic surgeon.
That's right. He knows, and he's also on Dr. 90210, which is on E! Tonight. We're going to get into the gender reassignment surgery, many other topics with the great Dr. Alter next.
If you want to change your sex, you can call Dr. Alter. He can turn your wang into a badge, Dr. Alter. Oh, Dr. Alter. Turn a girl into a man. Give a chick some bigger cans. He'll change Joe into Joanne, Dr. Alter.
Yeah. Dr. Alter, old friend I met when we were doing Loveline back into the day. I should say back in the day. Dr. Alter?
Hey, Adam. How are you?
Great to speak to you. Are you out in New York?
I am. I'm at my office in New York right now.
I didn't even know you had offices in New York.
Yeah, I have one. My Beverly Hills is my main office, and I come to New York about every 2 months for about a week.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Alter was in here a few months back. He is on Dr. 90210, which is going to be on E! Tonight, correct?
Correct.
And this is the one where you brought the cameras and film, so you'll be in here with us.
Correct.
So we can see ourselves on television tonight on E!, yes?
Indeed you can.
And Dr. Alter...
Wow.
I ask you this all the time, and it's always fun and informative. What's on the horizon as far as procedures go? What can we look forward to, and what's really popular right now as far as plastic surgery goes?
Well, I have to say that probably the big push in plastic surgery now is, and I think we briefly talked about this before, is fillers. It's like people are getting away more from facial surgery, and they're getting more involved in getting these different fillers put into the wrinkles and the concave areas of the face to make it more young and youthful.
Restylane, way to go.
Mm-hmm. Restylane, Juvederm, Perlane, a lot of different fillers going on. It's like people really aren't using collagen as much anymore. They're using these new hyaluronic acid fillers.
So instead of pulling the skin and getting a facelift, we're now just sort of filling in the low marks, right?
On the milder cases, so let's say somebody just doesn't want to go through surgery. They just want to get a little increased boost in how they look. Then they'll have the fillers put in, which actually will make them look much better and delay the surgery. But if somebody has really significant jowls and a lot of extra skin and a turkey neck, et cetera, that can only really be fixed by surgery.
Well, I would never disagree with you know, a doctor that's got two different specialties. But I had Restylane done in these two gigantic grooves I have in my mouth. You can't see them quite as much with the goatee, but they're big. They're...
Nasolabial folds.
Is that the called?
Yes.
Jesus, I know something about surgery.
And
is that right, doctor?
You got it, Teresa. You're right on top of it, Teresa.
Like magic, where Botox takes a few days to kick in, and then you wonder, am I really seeing this? Blah, blah, blah. The Restylane filled these things while I watched. I was watching in a mirror and watching them go away with the injection immediately.
Well, it makes sense, because a youthful face is usually kind of chubby.
Mm-hmm. As we get older, we actually lose some of the fat underneath the skin. So if you just think about it, look at an older person, they've lost a lot of the facial fat.
Well, hold on. I'm picturing Larry King and Oh Yes.
I see what I mean.
That's right.
Gone.
He's now one big nose and a bottle of Grecian formula balanced on the nose. That's what I picture.
Skeletor, and then I realized he was wearing suspenders, and I was thinking about Larry King.
Yeah, well, you lose your ass as well, too, so you must be fitted with suspenders. But, hey, so Dr. Alt, how long does this Restylane last?
The Restylane lasts probably 4 to 7 months. I mean, they say the Juvederm lasts a little bit longer, but you can probably plan on getting a refill about 6 months.
They say Botox, 3 to 6 months.
Three to six months on Botox.
But Botox wears off on me. I've done it a few times. It seems to wear off on me in maybe 2 months. It's almost not worth doing for me.
Well, what happens with men is their muscles are more active. And sometimes you have to give a higher dose or a more frequent dose.
I'm all about higher doses. Mm.
Hey, Dr. Alter, what do we have coming up the pike here? What's going to be, you know, legalized or passed or licensed or what have you in the next year or 5 years that's really going to make an impact?
Oh, I'll tell you, the external liposuction.
I was going to ask you about this because, Dr. Alter, all the girls were talking about this at TV Guide where I work in the makeup room. Mm-hmm. This, a friend of a friend got this thing, and maybe you'll tell me the name. She got a shot, and you know how you have a little chub around your waist, like mm-hmm. in the back
right.
fat?
Right.
She got an injection, and she was bruised for a couple days, and then the fat was melted away.
Oh, okay.
That's different. Okay, that's a different type of procedure. That's where the fluid is injected to melt the fat. But what's coming down the groove in another year or two, and actually it's going through studies right now, is a machine that you rub on the area that you want the fat removed, and it passes sound waves of ultrasound, and it causes disruption of the cell membrane, of the lining around the fat. And so what happens is when the membrane gets ruptured, the fat gets destroyed, and eventually your body will then eliminate it over the next few weeks or so.
Now, didn't they have that a few years ago, and it was crap? It didn't work?
It was a different technique. It was a different type of technology. Now, actually, the Israelis have a tremendous machine, and I saw one of the prototypes at the recent Aesthetic Society meeting in New York, and they are applying now for FDA approval. It's gone through clinical studies.
The country that is constantly under attack has come up with a better liposuction.
Well, how long do you think that's going to be available, Dr. Alter?
Well, I mean, there's two companies that really have the similar technologies, and they're hoping that it'll pass through FDA approval within a year or so.
Hey, we have a question, I think, for Dr. Alter. Let's see if I can work this out. Jackie? Jackie? I potted up. Is Jackie there?
Yes, I'm here.
There you go.
Jackie, are you a pre-op transsexual?
Yes, I am. I'm 21 years old.
Now, you sound good.
Definition of pre-op is on the hormone therapy and getting ready to be operated on?
Yes, I've been on hormones since age 8 and all the way up to now. That's correct.
What?
Who the hell put you on therapy on hormones at 8?
Well, it wasn't exactly, doctorate advice, whatever. I was taking like hormones from my mom and also from my sister.
You were stealing them.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, you are a woman.
Yes.
Well, wait a second.
Dr. Alter sounds concerned.
You were taking birth control at age 8?
No, actually estrogen. Estrogen at that age.
You knew what estrogen was. You realized that your mom was on it. Was your mom going through menopause or something?
That's correct.
And you stole her medication at age 8 and started eating as a young boy.
Exactly.
Alter, we don't need you anymore. We have someone far more interesting and screwed up than you.
You know what?
Yeah,
Jackie, when you're done and you are a girl, you're going to be the girl for me.
Okay.
At age 8, she figured this all out and then started stealing drugs.
Exactly.
You're the girl for me.
Stealing prescription meds now with a newly formed vagina. And by the way,
I love you.
You could be 30. Your vagina's 6 months old.
Exactly.
Well,
even more.
It's like having sex with a 6 month old. We finally realize your dreams.
Jackie, what's your question for Dr. Alter?
Yes, my question is, Dr. Alter, when I have the surgery, probably the next 4 years, I know that you have to have an apparatus to keep it open. But my question
is called Danny's penis.
How long do you have to keep it in?
How long do you have to do it? And also, I'm not really into sex. If I don't use it, will it close up at a long period of time and not using it?
Definitely not a Jew.
Basically, most of the time, you have to use the dilations for 4 to 6 months, even up to a year, to get it stabilized, and then a lot of the women will just use it every once in a while to keep it open, or they have sexual intercourse, which keeps it open.
You say the dilations. You're talking about some sort of
like a dildo. You know, it's like
that's a medical term.
Yeah,
right.
A dilator.
Right.
So if you don't use it, though, it will close up.
Really?
Hey, Jackie.
Yeah, I get one if you're not going to use it.
To a point to where I will have to have emergency surgery or...
Well, if the vagina closes up and you don't use it and you don't care, then that's that.
But Jackie, do you really hate sex that much?
I'm just not really into it.
Yeah, but if you're not really into it, it's not like saying I hate it. Just do it every now and again to keep your vagina from sealing.
Yeah, I mean, I would do that.
Hear that,
I mean,
Amy?
To be in a relationship or anything like that, no, I wouldn't. That direction.
Danny's going to come home to Amy tonight and be like, no, Alter said... Really? 8 to 10 minutes, and it will be sealed like sealed. Fort Knox. Yeah. You won't even know there's anything there. You got to, yeah.
But
you got to stir that drink, baby.
Boy, do you have the wrong.
Well,
drink.
When you get your ears pierced, though, you cannot wear earrings for a few years, and they don't close.
But what if you first get your ears pierced? It's the
you
first piercing,
right.
And it's a week later.
That's true.
Alter.
Yo.
Would you would you reckon from your professional history that Jackie's got issues?
Well, I hope Jackie is going to a psychiatrist or a social worker to help her out with her sexual issues because
yeah, because they're
with
there
with her gender issues. I mean, I would hope she has.
Well, let me, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but let me just make sure I have this straight. Dr. Alter is on the phone. He is a board certified in urology and plastic surgery. He's done many gender reassignment surgeries. I've seen the book. Jackie here is pre-op. She is on the hormone therapy. In order to get the operation, you have to get cleared by you need the not cuckoo stamp from a therapist that you see for a year. Jackie, are you seeing a therapist?
I will be going to a therapist in the next year.
And how old are you now?
I'm 21.
And what do you do? Work at a video store?
Actually, you're close. I work for a TV station.
Uh-huh. And do people know that you're not a woman?
They have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's taken these estrogens since she was so young. She probably looks very, very feminine.
Mm.
Is that right? Do you?
That's correct.
And do you have guys hit on you at
yes,
work?
Oh, yes, I do.
And what do you do?
Just be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, but no.
But you don't have any kind of relationship?
No, I don't.
And you don't want one even once your penis is replaced with a vagina?
That's correct.
And were you
is
molested?
This really Gretchen?
No, I was never molested. I had a good family at all. You know, I'm a frame of mind.
What do you think happened, in your estimation, if you could put your finger on one thing, and don't say, I just don't like guys or I just don't like girls or relationships.
I love guys.
But what happened? You don't want a relationship that's abnormal.
I don't know. I'm just not into it right now. I'm just mostly into my career right now. Maybe later on down the road when I'm 30 or something, when I establish myself with a house and everything, but maybe I'll go that direction. But for right now,
All right.
I got to bring up another point. I mean, it may very well be that she has such defense mechanisms that have built up because she has been living as a girl and she has a male hormone, a male organ, that if suddenly she does have the sex change and suddenly she can act and have relationships like a woman, she may suddenly develop an interest.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're hiding something now.
Exactly. It's like it's a defense mechanism. Mm-hmm. I don't want a relationship because I might get put down. I might be made fun of. Therefore,
I agree.
Abstain.
I agree. Right. Hey, I've been hiding a secret. Jackie, call back, please, maybe tomorrow or the next day, because I've
more
not...
More than 9 o'clock hour.
...done scratching your lottery ticket. Quickly, David has a question about hyperhidrosis, sweating too much. Yes, David?
Yeah, I do. I've heard there's a couple of different procedures. One actual procedure where they clip the gland, but there's also you can use... I'm trying to
play
it.
Botox.
It's Botox.
What part of you sweats?
My arm sweat like a lot. It's really odd. Like my right one sweats a lot more than my left one.
Your underarm.
Yeah, my underarms. And in like any situation, it can just start happening. Like, you know, it's not
drag.
Anything.
Yeah, I can tell you. I can tell you that the Botox for the sweating did not work for me at all.
Oh. So did I.
Yes.
It didn't work for me either.
Yeah, and the other part I didn't like is Well, here's the thing about the Botox. They said, I used to have the world's sweatiest head. And they said, well, you just give yourself Botox in the forehead and it'll get rid of the sweat.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was every centimeter. I thought I got one shot in my forehead. I didn't know it was every eighth of an inch or 3/32 of an inch.
10 to 14 shots in the forehead, right?
10 to 14, my arse. It's more like 30 or 40.
And it was ineffective?
Totally ineffective. And then I had to live with the stupid stigma of Dumbo Dr. Drew saying to everyone, what about you? You had Botox. You say you're not vain. And I was like,
for sweating.
But for sweating.
For my
and
job.
He'd be like, yeah, I know. You know those people where you tell them, you give them the answer all the time, where they go like, what do you mean you're not violent? You once punched that guy right in the mouth, and you go, I came home and he was raping my daughter. And they go, all
right.
Yeah, and then 10 minutes later, then a week later, you're having the conversation again, and they go, what about you? You punched that guy. You're like, did we not have the raping the daughter punch in the face conversation? I had to have that. I became the Botox guy.
Right.
I became Mr. Vanity. And Drew would always bring it up. Oh, yeah, well, you had Botox. And I'd be like, because my forehead sweat so much. It did nothing.
Okay, can I also just say it couldn't happen to a worse guy? The least vain guy I know, at least in physical appearance and the clothes that he wears,
certainly.
It's got to be Corolla.
Well, let me give David some hope, and maybe Dr. Alter, you can chime in. But I dated a guy, and he had a problem sweating a lot with his pits, and he had to wear a suit, and he would sweat through the suit. And the doctor prescribed him some kind of super deodorant, and you wear it every single day.
It's not deodorant. It's antiperspirant.
Antiperspirant.
You only use two drops, and you rub it in.
It was very effective.
Totally effective. What's it called, Doc?
I don't know the name of that.
I do. I can tell you, I can tell David what to do. David.
Yes.
Here are your options. There are plenty of places that do this procedure now, and it works. But what you should try first is go to a place that sells cosmetics, preferably to a place that sells stuff for the industry, the television industry, the place that makeup artists go to who work on TV shows and movies and places like that. Go to them.
You do a gay bar.
What's that? Or a gay bar.
You do a gay bar.
Yeah. Yeah. Go to... David, do you want my advice?
or do you want it crack-wise?
No. I will make an example out of your sweaty ass.
I hate gay people.
You're lucky.
Listen,
there's a soft spot in my heart for the sweaters.
The beating I take for interrupting Corolla, and you don't even work.
How dare you?
Yeah.
Yes, go haul your unfunny sweaty ass over to the local cosmetic place. Don't go to the Thrifties or the Save-On. Go to the place the cosmetic makeup artists go to, and they will have something, and it is clear, and it's like it's liquid aluminum oxide or whatever it is. You dab it on this area, and that area doesn't sweat. Now, here's what happens. All the areas around it sweat twice as much because that area can't sweat. So you'll have the world's sweatiest palms, but at least you won't pit out.
This is amazing.
When
I had my first talk show, I went to have the sweat glands in my armpits actually physically removed in surgery.
Right.
And they all said, you'll just start sweating from your face, which is much worse for television, so don't do it.
Do you use that stuff?
Yeah, I did, but I always forget it. If you get into it, because I will sweat through a suit coat as well, and it's embarrassing. Mm-hmm. It really is.
Yeah.
You want a quick out, man. If you got to go to, well, if I'm wearing a jacket, I'm probably on my way to court. But if you have to wear a jacket and you want a quick out, my man, Kotex.
Kotex.
Stick the lining part, the maxi pad, put the sticky part into the jacket, onto the jacket, the armpit part.
Smart.
Dude, I've had to live through this. It's a real problem for me. I'm not kidding you. I'm not kidding you. You're on a way out to a place you think you're going to probably have this problem. You go and you get a Kotex with the sticky liner and you pull off the tape and you stick it either in the shirt or in the jacket. Yeah, it is smart. I've had to do it and it worked.
When I do TV.
You are a blinding, brilliant light from heaven.
Kotex in the pits and tampon in the right nostril. That's
a good idea.
When I do television, that's how I work, because I do have a little nasal drip. Hey, Dr. Alter?
Oh, there is good surgery for sweaty palms.
There is.
Yeah.
But not as good for the pits.
No, but for the sweaty palms, and now there is surgery for sweaty feet, too.
Sweaty feet, extremities,
and
easier.
Before you go, that injectable that melts the fat, does that work?
There's controversy, I'm sure. Nothing's all or nothing.
How about
tea? You don't need it.
It's not as wonderful as... probably they say.
How about clenbuterol? Do you know anything about that?
No.
You don't? Okay, because it's a fat burner for racehorses that is, I'm serious, and it's all the rage in Hollywood.
Anything that's been tested on a bovine.
It's not tested. Animal. That's what it's for.
I know. Anything that gets injected into an animal, Danny wants. Dr. Alter, we'll be watching tonight on E!
Great.
Dr. 90210 tonight on E. Good to speak to you, and we'll see you in person soon. Doctor. Yes, Doc?
I'd love to see you.
Thanks,
good
doctor.
Times.
I don't want everything that's been inside an animal. I don't want Brian. All right, I take punishment on that one. And again, I'll be gold, guys.
We will make it up to you all with a little something called Music Monday.
Yeah.
Here's the topic for Music Monday. Your daughter's going out on her first date. She's young, teenage daughter, going out. You love her very much. Going out on her first date. A guy comes and picks her up, shows up at the door, says hi to you, takes the daughter, walks her over the car, gets into the car, turns ignition on, and you hear the song that's blaring from the guy's car. You know that thing where you had the stereo up too loud?
Yes.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
You didn't realize how hard you're rocking out before you turn the keys mm-hmm. off, and then you get back in, you turn it, and it's that loud. The song you would least like to hear and most like to hear as the parent of this daughter out on the first date, standing on the porch, seeing the car drive off into the night. There are songs that would be comforting and songs that would make you drop your pipe and newspaper and start chasing the car. With a sprinkler key. Music Monday next.
Look, I saw you coming out of school that day. That day I knew.
16.
I've got to have you.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. Another Music Monday. What song do you absolutely not want to hear blasting out of a guy's car when he comes over to your house to pick up your daughter for her first date? That's our subject today on Music Monday. Brought to you by Sousa Hornitos Tequila, alerting you to prepare for this year's live all-summer Battle of the Bands. Hornitos Tequila reminds you to drink smart. Music Monday on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, first, I thought I'd give you an example, just to give things some perspective, an example of a song you wouldn't mind hearing, just to let you know the ones you wouldn't want to hear. The guy picks your daughter up, it's her first date, he pulls up, and here's what he has coming out of his Prius.
But I'd like to get to know you.
Yes, I would.
You'd like this.
Like to get to know you. All right.
Let's get to know
her. She's going on a date. You've okayed that.
Right.
You know they're going to have to talk.
Right.
Then there's the part that they did in every good 60s song where they went like, I don't want to be a drag, man. I don't want to bring you down. Here's what I don't want to do. I just want to get to know you instead of I want to get you really high until you pass out on mescaline and then rape you.
One of my favorite songs, though.
Yeah.
And it ain't easy to rhyme with mescaline.
Here's the part where he talks about what he doesn't want to do. Oh, wait a minute. It's coming.
It's not the song I don't want to hear.
If I heard this coming from a car, I'd be like, hey, you guys need some condoms or some water-soluble lube or something?
See, I'd just be so confident the guy was gay.
Just wants to get to know you, baby.
I don't trust the shoulder to cry on guy.
All right. Would like to get to know. All right, that's enough of what you would want to hear. Here's my number one, which you wouldn't want to hear.
Bitches ain't shit but hoes and tricks.
Little Dr. Dre.
Yep.
But hoes and tricks. Lick on these and suck them.
Would you just shoot the tires out on the car?
Yeah,
shoot the tires. Why? When there's a perfectly good man in the driver's seat. My daughter, we're talking about.
I used to know a bitch named Mary Wright. We used to roll around the hoes at night.
My daughter's named Mary.
Yep.
It's even worse.
This got deep and it was out. Number one song after number one song. Long as my mother pockets was fat. I didn't give a f- where the bitch was at. But she was hanging with a white bitch.
Yeah. There you go. And 15 years. This song came out in 92.
Unbelievable.
92. 15 years later, we tossed Don Imus off the air for saying Nappy's headed home.
Good point.
What direction are we heading? Really? 15 years after this song comes up, some 7-year-old guy says, Nappy headed home, we got to toss him off the air? Wow.
Yep, we're going. We're taking some giant leaps backwards for mankind.
That's what it feels like to me. All right. Now, my next offering. This is going back to 1975. What a shocker! Top ten song for Sammy Johns. Whole song's about getting laid in a van. It was a simpler time.
Yeah.
Her young face. And brown long legs.
Get a key. Your eyes on the road, son.
Oh, they're driving at the time?
They're driving away.
Vehicle down.
Driving a van with your daughter in it. Took her out to the reservoir.
The melody is so sweet.
I know. He's talking about raping some underage chick in a van.
And it's so charming.
And they also do the tense thing where she goes, at the beginning of the song, they go, we're going to get some loving in my Chevy van. And then at the end of the song, it goes, we made love in my Chevy. So like, we did it. Done, oh, we're done.
It's over.
We're finished. I wouldn't even be able to finish a song after I got it on. I'd be like, we made love. I gotta get something to eat. Let's just, you know what? Let's just loop the first part and pick up. We'll patch it together in the recording studio.
I like to feel that this was a consensual sexual experience.
Either way, it's my daughter. It's my young teenage daughter, and she's with some guy in a custom van.
Awful.
All right, here he goes one more time.
She woke up, so she was roofing.
Where were they?
In the Chevy van.
The whole time?
Yeah.
He gave her a bunch of Mickeys and a Quaalude, and she passed out in the van.
Adam, if you said to your daughter, Natalia, where is this young man taking you on a date? And he said, and she told you, just in his Chevy, not going anywhere.
No vans.
No vans.
No vans.
But also, they're not going anywhere. They're just driving around.
Right.
Well,
that is a date for some young, broke people. Like places like City Walk and things like that. For people that don't have money, just walking around City Walk is considered a date.
At least that's a destination where you're out of the car.
Let's take a drive, baby. Sounds like a date for a couple of broke young people. Drive to the beach. We'll look at the moonlight. What they really mean is let's bone in the van. Which they should have called that song and just told the truth.
Forgot about the part where she woke up.
Yeah.
She woke up and took me by the hand. We made love in my Chevy van. And that's all right. So it doesn't say she woke up in my Chevy van and that was all right with her. He says we woke up in my Chevy van. That's all right with me. Because I was wearing a mask.
I'm nice. His Highness is all right with getting laid in his van.
Yeah.
With a young teenage girl.
It's all right.
All right. That's all right with him. We have many of my other songs. We also have Danny and Teresa's efforts as well. Songs you do not want to hear when the guy picks your daughter up for the first date. We'll take a quick break. More Music Monday next.
The Adam Carolla Show, where it's Music Monday. So a guy pulls up to your house to pick up your daughter for her first date. What's the worst song he could be playing on his stereo? Call 866-901-ADAM. Music Monday brought to you by Sal's Hornitos Tequila. Hornitos Tequila reminds you to drink smart. Now back to Music Monday on The Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we all have our worst songs that could be playing. There's also a few good ones, too. Ones that would add comfort in this time of need. Kenny?
Good morning, gang.
Good morning.
Hey, the song that I would least like to hear is Virgin Killer by the Scorpions.
Right. And what song would you most like to hear, which Paul Bryan has already pulled up because we can see it in advance?
The Ballad of the Green Berets by Staff Sergeant Barry Sadler.
That's right.
Wow.
He wrote this song in the 60s, Vietnam veteran.
Fighting soldiers from the skies.
Staff Sergeant Barry Sadler.
Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Berets.
It's a guy you can trust. That's an American.
Wings,
no.
Well, he has an American flag across the back of his van.
That's right.
Get on your knees, scumbag!
That's no commie with too much hair gel. driving some squatted Acura and doing a Brody on your lawn.
I don't know. What year was this from?
62, 66, okay, so. Yeah, I don't know. Guy's in his 70s.
I'm quite a guy. Please forget about me, I. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes those guys weren't all that nice.
Let's play some games.
All right, Kenny.
Have a great day, guys.
Thanks.
You too. Semper Fi.
A lot of people do a lot of things in the name of serving their country.
We'll hear T's got herself a nice offering too. Again, this is the one you do want to hear. Mm-hmm. We'll get to the ones we don't.
Yes. Well, I feel like if I heard this, I would think this young man believes in fidelity. He's wholesome.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't care about being cool.
Mm-hmm.
Randy
love
Travis.
This song.
Mm-hmm.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
Forever and ever. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's a little religious.
Yeah, you know she's going to start dating. So she wanted her to date the right guy.
Yeah.
All right.
It's the only problem.
Yeah.
Because it's a cute song, but it's just the twang's too much for me. It makes me think his last date might have been his cousin.
No, you know what, though? I like dating Southern guys. They have nice manners.
All right.
You know what? I think Southern women sound great and are beautiful, and I think Southern men almost always sound stupid, even if they're nuclear physicists. Why, if we split that atom right down the middle, we might get ourselves some power.
Though, I don't know if that's ever happened. It just seems like no one from the South's ever done anything but ride NASCAR.
Well, they write very well. A lot of good Southern writers.
Yeah. I happen to like the country songs and the fact that they tell a real story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can't.
Dan, what do you got in the number one department?
Sometimes I am either criticized and sometimes I pat on the back for being maybe too accurate. And this would be the too on the nose part. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to hear this. Take good care of my baby.
Ah,
that's sweet.
Take good care of my baby.
Remember, my 12-year-old's at my house right now.
Speaking of babies, can I tell you guys something?
You're pregnant?
No.
Oh.
Did a little baby naming over the weekend, though. Like, future baby names. Talking baby names.
That's adorable.
Really? That's
Amy
nice.
Amy and I named my penis over the weekend.
That's not as sweet.
Sounds like you have mental problems,
but what'd you name it?
Hermione.
Really? It's Shakespearean.
Yeah,
no, that's no, from the Harry Gingold. Potter.
No, Hermione Gingold.
You're looking at me like I'm going to provide some sort of answer to the Shakespeare or the Harry Potter.
How about Hermione Gingold?
Is it Shakespeare, Brian? Where is
it? Hermione Granger is the heroine from Harry Potter.
Right, Harry Potter. No, something British.
Hermione Gingold.
What?
From the 20s.
What baby names did you come up with?
Well, he has a very unfortunate last name. I'm going to have to give the kids.
Dickweed.
We came up with.
Little Cody Dickweed.
Bobby Dickweed. I really want a girl. Did you care, Adam, if you had a girl or boy
Richard
or whatever?
Dickweed.
I mean, you're lucky you got one of each, but did you care?
No.
Me neither.
I didn't. I always thought I'd want a son, and then we talked about the daredevil gene and the guy jumping off, and then I thought about me, and then I thought, who cares now? It's a push.
I was all rooting for a boy to be all boy with and all be manly and pick up chicks and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
The second that little baby girl came home, I went, oh, my God, daddy's little girl. So I think whatever guys say and think in advance changes the second that baby's born in your arms.
Yeah, I had a Schindler's, or I should say a Meryl Streep-esque, Sophie-esque choice to make yesterday when
Why?
Because I got home from out of town late, relatively late, 9 o'clock last night. I said, "Keep the kids up." To my wife, I want to say goodnight to the kids. That's I got sweet. Home at 9. It was time for them to go to bed. They were all by the door. I came in through the front door, and they saw me and heard me, and they started reacting like, ah, bah, 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 and they were running up the hall and they were waving their arms around. And I picked them both up and I was kissing them. And I said, then my wife said, "I got to take one of them up to get changed and ready for bed. Which one do you want?"
Oh, no.
I had to look at both of them. And I looked in my son's eyes, and I looked in my daughter's eyes. And then I realized, I really missed my TiVo. And I said, take them both back.
You did not.
Yes,
I'm going to be watching Entourage.
Yes, he did.
You didn't keep either one?
No, I think I took Sonny.
You did?
Yeah. He gets, see, it's not fair. So I don't love him as much as he's fat. and there's a staircase between involved with the decision, right, okay. So you always take the lighter. It's like a bag of groceries. Here, you take the watermelon and the eggs, and I'll take the white bread and the Triscuits.
Right.
There you go.
See, for me, it's my wife said to me, keep one of them, and right. I got to change the other one for bed. I just start sniffing them, and the one that stank is the one she gets.
Good point, that's yeah. Good. All right, let's see. Take good care of my baby.
Yeah, good
nice.
Choice. Either.
Yeah.
And nicely sung, like he means it. Take good care of my baby.
Yeah, although that wasn't the original version of that
song.
No,
the, Bobby V, I believe.
That's right.
But we didn't have it. So that was Dion.
Have we cracked the 90s?
By the way, with red number one right there.
I'm going for another good song, my last in the good department. A little something goes back to the 40s.
What the trolley?
Yeah. Guy's gay.
Yeah. Yeah. Show tunes.
No problema. Yeah.
Although I'm singing along, that's bad.
Gonna go out.
The moment I saw you, I fell.
That's right.
She's singing to a picture of Clark Gable at this point.
She's gonna have a good time.
Right.
She's gonna get some styling tips, and they're gonna have a nice platonic time.
Even better. She actually doesn't plan to really meet him. It's a matinee idol that she loves.
Mm-hmm.
It's a picture of Clark Gable she's singing to.
Yeah, but I'm not putting that fine a point on it. I'm just saying the dude she's picking up is good and gay, and there'll be no fornicating going on.
Okay, I kind of like the guy that's picking her up as imaginary, and there'll be no fornicating going on.
It's hard to F a ghost.
Yeah,
not impossible. Oh,
excuse me. I have my bad. We still have some bad. Let me go to my next one as we approach my number one.
She's just 16 years old. Leave her alone, they say.
Well, that's what they say. You never listen to them.
Separated by fools.
That's right. Fools. Known as the law enforcement community. Judges, court-appointed attorneys, social workers.
You know, I really enjoy R. Kelly's remake of this.
Who is this?
Benny Margonis, 1980. Right.
It's the first date. Of course it's like you've never seen.
If I could fly, it's what I'd do. Instead, I have an 86 Geo Metro.
And then you get to say, since she's never seen it, that this is normal and everybody's doing it. Now, where are the propeller hat?
Mm-hmm.
It's like having a dream where nobody has a heart.
It's having a bad dream. You can't have sex with an underage chick.
Nightmare.
Well, how did,
it's not as bad as having the sex with the underage chick and getting caught.
I think that
it.
Conversation with Benny Mardonis's agent went like late 1979. Hey, Benny. Yeah, it's your agent Sammy on the phone.
I got a hot new track for you, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope it's another one about pumping an underage chick.
It's about being in love.
Right.
With a girl.
Please, dear God, make her over 18 this time.
Close to impossible. They say.
Benny, can you not write a song about having sex with an adult? Jesus. Evan Christ.
God, I need help.
Oh. You're just nine and you have a tight behind was the B side on your last hit.
Look, I know you're my agent, but you want to have a kid.
If anybody hear this, I'll pick you up, and I get physically from that.
Right.
I'll pick
right.
you up and run into the night.
Give
this
you,
is a kidnapping song.
Right.
Now, I like this part, too, where he starts moaning he loves her so much.
That's an old face.
Here's the sound. Here's the last sound you hear coming from the Geo Metro as it speeds off.
Speeds up.
At 18 miles an hour.
Yeah, thank you.
It's firing on all three cylinders. Here's the sound you hear.
No.
All right. That is bad times.
Yeah.
Bad times.
All right, Teague, what do you got, baby girl?
Okay, well, when little Marisol... My daughter.
Oh, boy.
The name I'm working on.
Hey, when in Rome.
Continuing the tradition of giving Latin names
mm-hmm.
to people who are not Latin. Like my like mm-hmm. my own name. I got mm-hmm. the Latin name. Mm-hmm. I think Marisol's cute, but little Marisol's 15 and car pulls up. I don't want to hear this.
feels like the first time. Yeah.
I don't want it to feel like the first time or be the first time. Yeah. Not at 15.
Right.
It's my baby.
No, that's a little Marisol.
Little Marisol. I call her Mary.
The name of Marisol is going to have 3 kids by this time, by the way.
Don't you think that's a cute name?
Yeah. No. It's a horrible name.
Like
they're all going to call her Parasol.
Listen.
Chick named Marisol liked me in junior high, and so I lost all respect
really?
For the name.
I think of Rob Thomas's wife, Marisol. She's so pretty.
Nah. Right. Danny?
A chick named Skank really liked me in high school. I think maybe it might have been a nickname. I'm not sure. Okay, I think everybody's going to be happy with this choice for song. I don't want to hear it coming from the car. 1967, ladies and gentlemen.
Doors?
Yeah. I'm your backdoor man.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah, you don't want to hear that.
It gets worse. Because you think they could be talking about something else. They're not.
They're not.
Listen. If you don't, I'll tell you. It says right now, I'm your backdoor man. Men don't know, but little girls understand.
The men don't know, but the little girls understand.
Any questions?
Is there any way he's talking about the actual back door?
Yes, of course. No man knows that there's a back door to the home. Right. Only little girls know there's a back door to the house. Because they learned it during the fire drills.
I need a shower.
Yep.
All right, let's take ourselves a break.
I'm pretty happy with that choice.
I am satisfied with it
Thanks,
as well.
Thanks,
we have my number one, Danny's number one, Teresa's number one songs you don't want to hear when the fella's picking up your young daughter. Those and yours as well, next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show, more Music Monday. Which song do you not want to hear blasting out of a guy's car when he picks up your daughter for the first date? Call 866-901-ADAM. Music Monday on the Adam Carolla Show.
All right, T.
Yep.
It's to you, baby doll.
Okay, well, we vary slightly on where we stand on our daughters dating gay men. Maybe mm-hmm. it's my female perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want my daughter dating a gay man, and I have to explain it to her, you know, what the story is. But anyway, so I don't want to hear this.
I got rhythm.
I got rhythm. I
don't want little Julia going out with a gay man, and mom's got to tell her. That my mom had to explain to me about a friend.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I said no. She said, I'll bet you $50 that in 5 years, that guy's going to have a boyfriend.
You're a homo.
I just don't explain Ethel Merman to anyone.
Yeah, this is part of the problem with the direction society's going. Everyone has to have these really weird conversations with their 6-year-olds about how things work. I'm going to try to avoid that. You know, they're guys and they hate this country and they wear explosive vests and they may be walking into the mall where the gymboree is. And, why are those two guys walking arm in arm? Because when daddies love each other very much, you know, I just sound old fashioned and weird and like Grandpa Carolla over here. The parents who grew up in the 50s and never had to talk to their kids about anything, they just hand them a cigarette and tell them to go to the store and buy them a 6-pack. And it was I was just a simpler time as a parent.
True.
Yes. Yeah. All right. So, Danny, what do you got as your number two offering?
Well, T will be happy to know that I did break the 90s here, although your question was after his, I believe Adam's song was from 92, his first choice.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is all pretty obvious. It's Coco Me Bad With.
Girl, you know it feels real good.
I want to sex you up.
I'll tell you what, the lead singer of this band is on that Man Band show on VH1.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Lose the weight, chubby.
Not only does he want to have sex with my daughter, but I know, in fact, afterwards he'll turn out to be a loser and be on that show.
Hey, look, you fat pig.
He's gained a few pounds.
I think that show actually, the same company employs me, so let me just say I think it's
a great show. It is a good show. I watch it.
It sucks ass.
Now, what's the name of the song? Sex You Up?
Sex You Up.
Yeah.
I want to
sex you up.
Yeah, I don't need that.
Color me bad.
I'm going to go right to my number two. This doesn't even have lyrics.
Yep.
He's just playing the theme from Debbie Does Dallas. That's what this is.
Is that it? I thought it was every porn ever.
Yeah. It sounds like it because it was one of the most popular porns, and maybe it just sort of got the whole thing started. But I just don't want to hear that bass porn line coming from the place. I don't want
that.
I don't want this.
I don't even want my daughter going to Dallas.
This could be the creepiest one ever.
That's where they keep the Dallas Cowboys.
Does anybody name their daughter Debbie anymore?
Little Debbie's going out with this, and this is what's coming from the van.
Oh.
All right, T, you have a number one, and I'd like to hear it.
That was it.
That was it. Oh, I'm sorry. Jeez, I got a number one.
Yeah.
Screwed up my own order. Well, last week, somehow we got on to Gary Puckett.
Oh, no.
Somehow.
We didn't actually get on to him.
Yeah. T made the mistake of bringing up someone named Gary Puckett. And then I went through his entire library of music. He was a guy from the 60s. Sung a lot about the young girls.
Young
girl, get out of my mind. So this is him singing to the one young chick to get out of his mind.
Yeah.
But one young chick song, not nearly enough for a 60s crooner. He then sat down, bald Brian, looking confused, and did this one. I have the lyrics here. Just listen.
This girl walked in green.
It's whimsical at the beginning.
Playing in a world of her own.
She's in a world of her own.
This girl
filled with puppy dogs, bouncing balls, and daffodils.
Existing in a playground of stone.
I want to ride the pony.
Playground of stone. Good name for TV. One night her world was changed. Her dreams were rearranged. She was a little girl living her own fairy tale world, then one night it changed. Yeah. She's a woman now.
She's learned how to give.
Learned how to give.
So if you had a Gary Puckett CD with both of these songs.
It's called How to Erase the Gag Reflex, Volume 1.
Puckett is spelled with a PH and the H is silent.
That's right.
Got it.
She was a little girl with little girl dreams, but then she got to me.
Yeah.
And now she's a woman.
This girl
in therapy. That's the whole name of the song.
As tender as the gentle dawn.
She tasted love.
I didn't know it said that.
We were such blowhards in the 60s.
Wait,
single teardrop, yeah.
She's crying because her childhood is ending.
She's paralyzed because this smelly old man's on top of her.
It hurts the first time, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Brian, you should get ready for that. It hurts the first time.
I love that line. The child had died. The woman was born.
Jesus.
So imagine this is blaring from the car.
Just covered by Gary Glitter.
A lot of little girls were covered by Gary Glitter.
She's learned how to give. I like the single teardrop coming from her eye.
I'm actually nauseated by this song.
Yeah, I am now. I wasn't, but I am now.
She's crying.
I am telling you that there was some sort of federal mandate that if you started a band in the 60s or early 70s, you had... Like, you sat down with a guy from the government who was like, okay, you've filled out the appropriate paperwork for starting the band, Grand Funk Railroad. That's right. An interesting name.
I got that one about fighting the man.
Yeah, well, we need two proofs of ID, and then we're going to have... Now, you're going to write a song about nailing a 14-year-old, life on the road,
right,
or sticking it to the man who works for the record company.
You see right there, the top of the form, I got it. The one sticking to the man.
I saw you checking the rambling box.
Right.
What about Wings on the Streets?
Oh, yeah, but the street. Well, the heat on the street, that's not coming around for about 10 years.
Yeah, what were those other two, sir? I'm sorry, because I want to get this right.
You have your choice between writing a song about rambling or writing a song about nailing underage chicks or writing a song about life on the road or sticking it to the man. Now, what a lot of bands do is they will ramble over to a 14-year-old and have sex with them. We can check both boxes.
Is that true? I can kill two birds with one stone?
I mean, I don't want to tell you how to write your song, sir, but if, let's just say the 14-year-old daughter was, the girl was the daughter of the record exec who blew cigar smoke in your face and said sign on the dotted line, then you could ramble to her house, have sex with her, thus sticking it to the man and satisfying three out of our five requirements.
Right, so then how about if I write some of the effect of, I really loved her, she couldn't be finer, so I rambled to her house even though she was a minor.
That's a good start. Again,
thanks.
I'm not a musician.
Right. Thank you, sir.
I dabble in the French horn a little bit, but that I'm not a musician. I'm going to tell you how to write the song. I'm just saying there's a federal mandate that, I would encourage you to comply.
Because even though I sing the songs about problems with the man, I don't actually want any.
Every single 60s band had a song about nailing an underage chick.
There's got to be a song about nailing an underage chick and then having to ramble on the road. Because you got into some trouble.
There's one of those. Most rambling songs have the "When I'm Back This Way Again."
Yeah.
There'll be a.
A reckoning.
There'll be an encore to the first raping. Raymond?
Yeah.
You have a suggestion for bad songs to be playing?
Yeah. It's Date Rape from Sublime.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought about this one, and I love this song, and I hate most Sublime songs, but I love this song because it's funny, but it's about sort of vindication.
Yeah.
This guy gets it in the keister.
Right.
Yeah, so it ultimately...
Yeah, and then he really gets his own.
Yeah, but I can dig it, Raymond.
Yeah.
Nice
job. You guys are awesome. I just want to let you know, Teresa, you're beautiful. Danny, Adam, you guys are awesome.
Thanks, Raymond. Appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
Let's see. Let's do one more. Let's do line four. Do we have line four?
Nope.
All right. Nope. I screw that one up. All right. Hey, well, shout it out anyway, Richard.
Hey, how you guys doing? First off, hats off to you guys. Love the show.
Thanks.
I got a 14-year-old daughter, and if a guy pulled up in the car and he was playing Notorious B.I.G., I'm going to F you tonight. I'll have to put a bullet in his head.
Oh,
nice.
What's your daughter's
Someone
name?
Someone beat you to
Can
that punch.
Her name's Leah.
Oh, that's pretty.
Leah's
I might
nice.
Steal it.
All right.
I'm looking.
Awful
Thanks,
close
Richard.
To Leia, which makes you nervous.
Leah. It is close to Leia. Yeah. She might get teased.
We got Nine Inch Nails. Let's, we have
Just
line
the name
five.
Scares
Vanessa?
Hello.
You want to give us your Nine Inch Nails
nine
offering?
Nine Inch Nails closer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And this is the guy who's not only going to deflower your young daughter, but it's going to be in some sort of ghoulish way.
Yeah.
Ooh.
He wants to do it like an animal.
Yeah, they're not going to be on a futon in his mom's place. They're going to be in some dungeon somewhere. Think hostel.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's not right now.
Well, she lets him violate.
Well, listen. Okay, that has fluids.
You know when he's desecrating or violating on that first date. Save it for my daughter's third date. That's when the violation and the desecration.
Am I the only one thinking about program director Jack Silver and his lecture to us about not discussing rape?
No.
It's only been a solid half hour.
All right. Let's move forward. Do you have some news about bestiality or something? We can.
I try to cover bestiality and
Harry Potter's retarded cousin.
Pedophiles exclusively. But today, big news on pain pills.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
I can give help here.
I'll get to that. And also, Carmen Electra is coming out with some new music.
Oh, this should be fantastic. Carmen Electra and pain pills next in the news.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Tucson, Arizona. A man and a woman were arrested after robbing a roadside fruit stand at gunpoint. The couple made off with $40, a mango, and an ear of corn. Definitely not a Jew.
Well, we're now into, I think, probably about 125 of those, and I haven't found fault with any of them yet. T?
Yep.
The news, baby girl.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
It may not come as a surprise that people in the United States are living in a world of pain and popping pills more than ever.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it may be surprising to you just how much pill usage has increased in the United States, according to the Associated Press, which analyzed statistics from the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Administration. Pill popping has risen 90%. Between 1997 and 2005. That is pain pills. I'm talking about the five major painkillers that are sold at retail establishments. That's up 90% between 97 and 2005.
Right. We're still focused on pot.
Yeah.
We still probably spend more money trying to get rid of pot than we do focusing on this problem.
This is a huge, huge increase. More than 200,000 pounds of codeine, morphine, oxycodone, hydrocodone, and this one I've never heard of, meperidine.
If you're a drug company,
Dexrol!
This is a product, and it's like we accuse the cigarette companies of, oh, you're telling young people not to smoke, and you're using a friendly animated camel to deliver the message. Of course they want people to smoke. They're a business who makes their money on selling these things. You just get rid of the cigarettes, get rid of the pills. Let's just say they sell wooden buttons. How many wooden buttons are you going to sell? And somebody says, hey, some of the wrong people are getting hold of these buttons and using them for things other than cardigan sweaters. And they go, I don't care.
I'm selling buttons.
I'm selling buttons. And then someone goes, yeah, but you have to pretend like you care. And you go, oh. All right, well, I'll make a statement saying, do not use these buttons for anything other than sweaters, but they're going to do it anyway. Yeah, I don't know what percentage of it is illegal. I mean, I don't know what percentage of the pills that come down the conveyor belt over there at Aurora or Upjohn or wherever, what percentage of those are going into the mouth of someone who doesn't need it?
Yeah.
But it seems like at least half.
Oh, at least.
And, well, that's pretty good business if you're making buttons.
Right.
Estradiol! Estradiol! I think I have made this clear before that a legal drug can become an illegal drug in 30 seconds.
Right.
I have to just reach in my pocket. I have some of my medication with me.
Right.
In my pocket, prescribed to me.
Right.
But the second I put it in your hand or Adam's hand and you take it, we've all committed a felony.
Right.
Yeah. And you can get...
And you two would go right to sleep and I'd be fine.
Doesn't have the stigma that heroin and other things have. It's not messy. It's controlled. It's easy to get. Yeah, I don't see any end in sight with this one.
Well, here are some of the reasons why they think the increase is so steep. Now, the population is getting older. Of course, as you know, we get older, we need more pain medication. People with cancer are living longer. They have to manage their pain. Now, those are the legal usages.
Right.
But probably the main reason is the drug I just mentioned, oxycodone, which you know as OxyContin. It's responsible for most of the increase, according to this report. Oxycodone use jumped nearly sixfold between 97 and 2005. It gained notoriety as hillbilly heroin. Now, you think, where are people taking this drug? Well, in Appalachia, where the hillbillies are.
Mm-hmm.
Retail sales of Vicodin are also very high there. 9 out of 10 areas with the highest per capita sales of Vicodin are in rural parts of West Virginia, Kentucky, and Tennessee.
You know, I used to, I make jokes about going into Mexico to get drugs, and sometimes I actually still do, but they're legal drugs that are much cheaper. They're like my inhalers and stuff like that for my asthma.
Yeah.
But when I used to go there to get illegal drugs, they don't make, import, or have anything like Vicodin. And the last time I was there, they offered me Vicodin, and the last time I was there when I was still using drugs. And they offered me Vicodin, and I said, you guys don't make Vicodin. You don't have Mexican Vicodin or anything like it. And they said, no, but you guys want it so much, we go to San Diego and get it and smuggle it back in.
Really?
The pharmacists in Mexico were going to America to get Vicodin and selling it at $6 a pill back in Mexico.
Jesus Christ.
Because you could just say to the pharmacist, can I have Vicodin?
Sure.
But now he's an official drug dealer because you could get a prescription when they say, if they want to be tight-assed about it, like you go into the pharmacy, and that's what they're there for. They're there to sell you the drugs you can't get in America.
Right.
But if they're scared at all, they say you need a prescription.
Right.
Well, there's a doctor on the premises. You just go upstairs, it's $20.
Right.
And they write you the prescription, you come downstairs, and now you're legal.
You don't hear much about codeine anymore.
No, I think makes at least, you too constipated.
At least in big cities, right? And in mm-hmm. fact, it's fallen in usage by 25% since 97. But where is it selling? Kansas City, Missouri, Nashville, Tennessee, and Long Island, New York. Codeine selling there.
Everybody's high and doesn't have to go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, here's a story about a 65-year-old, a professor, former professor at MIT. Excellent school.
Yeah, sure.
This guy was sitting in a parking lot in his minivan, and he was shot in the stomach. So he called the cops on his cell phone, and he told them that his son had laundered $180 million and sent two Russian hitmen to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
He said he'd only survived the shooting because his belt buckle deflected the bullet. So the police came and they investigated. They spent over $100,000 in taxpayer money.
Mm-hmm.
And then they realized his son had not hired Russian hitmen. There were no Russian hitmen. This former MIT professor had shot himself and then attempted to frame his son. Here's their best piece of evidence. In this former professor's pocket, they found an outline for the entire plan written on the back of a restaurant menu. What do you expect? The guy's a professor. He had a flowchart. On Jew-ass.
Well,
I frame my son and I write it down.
I don't know, though. Actually shooting yourself in the belt buckle takes a pair of huevos, dude. What if you're off by an inch or two?
Plus, there's no professors don't wear those kind of rodeo belt buckles or the ones that say, you know, these colors don't run on them with the, you know, Confederate flag and everything. They just use the little skimpy ones that are actually a buckle. Not a belt trash can lid, but a belt buckle. Right. Not a belt hubcap, but a belt buckle. So that should have been strike number one. Yeah. We should have known.
Well, it's a serious feud when you're willing to shoot yourself. But what do you think, what kind of punishment do you think you get for doing this?
For attempting to frame your son.
Shooting yourself.
Attempting to frame your son is not the crime. The crime is the false police report lying to federal authorities.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Firing gun in inappropriate place, whatever that is called. The discharge of the firearms, the offense. He didn't wound or hurt anybody, so I'm going to go with 5 years or under.
You think he'd serve time?
I think the outside is 5 years.
This guy, you're right, he was convicted of filing a false police report. He got 2 years of probation, that's it, and has to undergo a psych evaluation.
Yep.
I know, and it's the money that they waste.
$100,000.
I would like some sort of, here's how I'd like it worked out for the crimes that are sort of consensual, the ones you inflict on yourself or the ones where no one else gets hurt. You must serve a week for every $1,000 you waste of the government's money.
Yeah.
So now he's spending... Is it 100,000 weeks or 100 weeks?
It's
100 weeks. Okay, so 2 years.
Something like that. Yeah, I just don't... It's the part where we have this sort of bottomless coffers where we just, we spent a few million here and $100,000 there. Well, isn't that a new stadium in a high school, or isn't that a couple of new roads paved or whatever it is?
Yeah, Head Start teachers.
Would you guys then agree with me that Ken Starr should serve 11 lifetimes?
Yeah. You mean you're talking about for the Clinton thing?
For the Clinton thing, he spent, what, $400 million to see if he cheated on his wife?
I know. You spend, you know, we always do this thing where it's like, hey, man, we just don't have enough for the cops or the teachers or whatever. The cops and teachers make like $50,000-$60,000 a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this guy wasted the use of a cop or school teacher for 2 years.
Yeah.
When you start getting into the Whitewater stuff, you're talking about an army of police and an army of teachers.
And maybe an army.
An army of men for years.
Army,
that's right.
Well, here's some news about Carmen Electra.
Mm.
Now, I don't know.
That's an oxymoron right there.
I don't know if you know this, but back in 1993, she dropped a hip-hop/R&B album, which was pretty much written by Prince.
In 93.
And Prince discovered her. Her name was Tara Patrick. He made her Carmen
Electra. Oh, I didn't know that. I got the shield machine here.
Her name was Tara Patrick. And he thought Carmen was a sexier name.
Oh, sweet Irish!
She had a stripper song or strip club song or some sort of song.
Are you
where
speaking
she
of Go-Go Dancer?
Go-Go Dancer.
Let's take a listen.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm a vibe, it's a way to describe. Dancing in my cage and riding high. And there's no one better set for stroke, but the girl in a cage is still hope. And as you paint the scheme of things, you'll find you're living in my dreams.
Prince is a genius. Said it once, I'll say it again. Musical genius. Listen to this.
Okay.
It sounds like every crappy Prince song, except where he has a hot chick he's trying to nail who can't sing.
Right.
But a genius.
But a genius nonetheless.
He'll go down in history as a genius.
He came up with the name Carmen Electra. It's a good name.
She ain't gone. She's almost without talent, and she's still famous.
Listen how bad this song is.
It is an atrocity. Well, she's working on a new album. I know you're excited.
Oh, well, let's hope Prince is involved so it comes out as good as this.
According to the New York Post, she's almost ready to release and she's the album, and she's even debuted some tracks at a club
hold
recently.
Hold on, hold on.
Yeah.
Everyone listen to this. Just listen to this, all you retards that keep making your argument for Prince. This is just as crappy as any other crappy song that came out in the early 90s. She can't rap because there's nothing behind her words. She's empty. She's a really nice person, but there's nothing. You know, when 50 Cent raps, or when Eminem does it, you hear.
Just go, oh my God.
You hear a life of pain behind it.
Sure.
This is a life of hot chicks, and she's 22.
Yeah, I mean, I would throw in Missy Elliott or somebody like that.
Right.
Now,
yeah, pick a chick. That's
have you
right.
met Carmen Electra?
Yeah, sure.
Pick a chick. How do you think she'd do on The Apprentice? Excuse me, Dandelion. Because she is going to be on.
Can she have
Celebrity.
Sex with Trump?
That's,
I don't know
that's
if that's within the guidelines.
If she can have sex with him, she'll be in.
Well, I mean, obviously the women use their sexuality on The Apprentice.
Smoking sucks.
So she
Prince,
can use whatever.
What a pile sucking doesn't.
What a pile of crap. He's such a pile of steaming crap. He's got, here's some young 19-year-old chick. I'll bang her for a while. I'll give her a fake name. Then I'll write her stupid song
that nobody
likes.
What about Diamonds and Pearls? Remember those two? Those girls.
About Wendy and Lisa.
Just a pompous retard midget. Please, people. Please stop with the genius and Prince.
Well, with whom will Carmen Electra be competing on Celebrity Apprentice?
That's a good question.
Joan Rivers?
Hmm?
George Foreman?
Hold on. Joan Rivers is officially decrepit. Like, she is closer to 80 than she is to 75, is she not?
She's in her 70s, I believe.
These tasks are sort of physical.
Yeah.
She's had a lot of elective surgeries and is probably all of 95 pounds.
And she's
is
rich as crap.
Probably
Why
77 years old.
But she's wily. Maybe she'll do well.
All right, but a lot of this stuff involves like running down the streets in New York and getting, you know.
I know. That's where George Foreman could have an advantage.
So Foreman is
Foreman
in
can't
it.
Run anywhere anymore.
Foreman, Electra, these are so far who's on the who's on Celebrity Apprentice. Joan Rivers and Kimora Lee Simmons.
All right, Foreman.
She's already a businesswoman, though. She's already kind of a an entrepreneur.
Yeah, she's a businesswoman because her husband or ex-husband's a businessman.
Yeah, how
that's
about the George Foreman grow,
woman.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a business? The guy made $1 billion or something ridiculous like that. Plus, how would you like to tell George Foreman no? I got an idea for a business I want you to invest. You got it.
Ooh,
well,
that,
champ.
That Kimora Lee thing. Oh, her and Russell Simmons. Ugh. Yeah. Can't figure out why he bothers me either. I'll tell you why Russell Simmons bothers me.
Why?
Because when he used to do that TV show was on MTV with him and Kimora.
Yeah.
You would walk into his 30,000 square foot. It looked like you walked into Liberace's rectum.
Yeah.
I imagine that would be the Golden Palace known as Liberace's rectum. It's like the most garish, you know, gold leaf chandeliers hanging everywhere. But then somewhere on the fourth floor of the Turkish whorehouse he lived in was the meditation center.
Yeah.
That's where he went to meditate. And then soon as he was done getting in touch with what was real, he then climbed back into his 30-foot car that got 9 feet a gallon and went back to go make billions of dollars. Look, you're a capitalist who's into gold leafing on your toilet seat. Just admit it. Spare me the feng shui, you hypocrites.
My investor.
Please, and her. She's a Imelda Marcos, but a cartoon version of Imelda Marcos.
Wow, version of a cartoon.
Yeah, she's like an annoying version of Imelda Marcos. That's what Camelie or Cormelie Simmons is.
To me, that's like saying that's a really mean version of Leona Helmsley.
Yeah.
What are you talking?
You're Danny
you
with
need
a,
another one.
You're Danny with a scratchy voice.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Okay, so.
Everyone makes me sick.
And yet you will be watching, though, Celebrity Apprentice.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. It's going
to
be good.
I love that. I can't wait. There's still more to sign on, right?
Yeah, he's trying to get Lindsay Lohan and Britney Spears, but come on.
I'm going after Lindsay Lohan because she does not suck.
Good luck. Good luck with that.
All right. Yeah. We're the number one rated TV show in the universe.
Except for all the other ones on at the same time.
We're number one except for the other shows that are on when we're on. And then, of course, we're number 15. But we do not suck because we're number one. We're a number one, highly rated. We're successful. And you know why? Because we're classy. We're classy. You know what? We may be number 49 out of the top 50 shows, but we are number one with a classy bullet. We're the classiest of all the shows. It's a class show. Not like that Rosie. who's big and stupid
and sucks.
He can really carve. He really paints a picture with his tongue. Like, whenever I go, what do you think of Rosie O'Donnell? He's like, she is fat and stupid and not classy. What's the opposite of class? She's minus class. She's a black void of class. Even if I entered her black hole of non-classiness, I would be stripped of some of my precious class, and that's not easy to do, my friend.
Well, Donald Trump is also trying to add some class to his show by getting Paris Hilton to sign on. No luck so far. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
All right, we will take ourselves a break. When we come back, Ozzy saw the number one movie of the week, Superbad. I hear it was anything but.
Es bueno.
We'll get Ozzy's review of Superbad next. Yeah.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. It's time to play Guess the Movie Quote with our Nicaraguan movie reviewer, Oswaldo Castillo. Can you guess which movie this famous line is from?
All I need are some testy, whereas I call booze, I am fine.
If you said Fast Times at Ridgemont High,
all I need are some tasty waves, cool buzz, and I'm fine.
You're correct. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Ozzy.
Good morning.
Good to see you, my brother.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Ozzy.
Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning, Ozzy.
Good morning, Danny Benaducci.
Nice wet one,
Ozzy.
I
think that's adorable when Danny kisses men.
Yeah.
Very sweet.
I'm going out, actually, with Ben and Alex today, right after the show.
Ah.
Well, not right after the TV show.
Our gay correspondents.
We're going clothes shopping. Shut up.
Who's picking who out or what out
They're
for
They're picking
who?
My stuff out for me.
I don't know about that strategy, Bonaducci.
I'll dress less gay if gay guys pick out my clothes.
That's an interesting point. Yeah, it's like putting out a fire by blowing it up.
Right. That's exactly what I mean?
Yeah, it's how you put out an oil well fire. You don't run a bunch of water on it. That's not going to do anything. You blow it up.
Bonaducci dresses so gay, we got to send out actual gay guys to pick his clothes.
The only way to get him to dress less gay is to get two of the gayest men on the planet to take him out clothes shopping.
So,
I like that.
See you later back today.
It's just crazy enough to work. Ozman?
Yep.
Did you see a movie?
Yeah, Superbad.
Well, let's play the intro.
Okie dokie.
Oswaldo, tell us about some movies. We want to know which movies you have seen. Go ahead, Oswaldo, tell us.
The movie that I saw over this weekend is Superbad.
Mm-hmm.
Superbad star Jonah Hill is Seth, and Michael Cera is Evan.
Evan.
Yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Superbad.
First one is Seth?
Seth, yeah.
Seth, right.
Seth, the fat guy.
Right.
Yeah. The little fat guy.
Mm-hmm.
Superbad is a sexy comedy about two teenage college students looking for gear over summer vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Complicated plot.
Yeah. So they're going from high school into college. Yep. Have their summer vacation. It's a magical time. I remember just like it was yesterday. I remember when me and Ray were going from... It was a tough time because we had to go from high school to carpet cleaning in Van Nuys. Yeah. And we were torn. We didn't want to go far apart. He was going to go to the one out in Van Nuys. I was going to go to the one in North Hollywood. Yeah.
You make a lot of funny.
Yeah.
You make a lot of funny, Adam.
I do make a lot of funny.
A lot of funny.
And that's why he makes a lot of money.
That's right. Make a lot of funny. Make a lot of money.
Yeah.
More you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Here is a clip, you know, of Seth making fun to McLovin.
Seth is making fun of who?
To McLovin.
McLovin?
McLovin.
McLovey?
Yeah, McLovey.
Isn't that Willie Thurston Howell's wife?
Mr. Cubs? No.
No, McLovey is the name the guy, you know, changed the name.
McLovin.
McLovin.
McLovin. There you go.
McLovin.
All right.
Gangsters, what's up, guys? I was just walking down the hall, and Nicola was right in front of me. She was wearing these tight white pants with this black G-string, and you could see right through the pants, man. It was so sweet. I told her what time it was.
It's 10:33.
What?
That's insane. Can I hear it again?
He told her what time it was?
I actually get that joke.
10:30. Huh?
Do you get that
it's
joke?
It's a funny part in the movie.
Is it?
Yep.
It is.
Oh, it must translate.
You need to watch.
Yeah. The 10:30 is funny?
Yeah. The,
what do you
the,
do at 10:30?
The action, you know. The 10:30, you see, you know, the lady in the back, you know.
Oh.
You know, and she showed the tanga. You know, the little...
G-string,
right? Yeah. Right?
No, well, but...
I know 4:20 is, but what's 10:30?
Me too, and I know you go to the dentist at 2:30.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was like, you know, I'm going to tell her what time it is. Yeah, and it's like, I actually told her what time it was.
That's the joke, guys. Yeah. Wow. I told her what time it is.
They have a joke in Spanish, too, for the lesbian people.
Yeah?
I'll bet they have more than one.
How's it go?
You say, you know, the best time, you know, for the lesbian is...
Yeah.
Un cuarto para las dos.
Mm-hmm.
Quarter past
one room
two.
For the two.
What for the two?
You know, the quarter hour in Spanish, cuarto. Cuarto is room in English.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they say, un cuarto para las dos. You know, one room for the two.
I see.
Yep. It's Spanish.
Yeah.
I'm never watching Mind of Mencia again.
Yeah.
Open the eyes.
Carlos just ripped that one off, even though he doesn't understand it.
Yeah, because he's not Mexican.
Oh, look, everyone's Mexican. It's not white or black or Asian. How many
That's
times
right.
do I have to explain that to you?
Hondurans? Mexicans.
Yeah. You're this close, U.S. You want to be Mexican?
I'm named Teresa.
All right.
Might as well.
Keep going. I'll make you Mexican.
You better
keep
say
it up.
Latin. You know, no speed, you know, Mexican.
I will pull this Anglo car over right now and toss you out and make you Mexican.
No!
You want to keep complaining?
Let me stay in
well,
the
then
car.
Settle down.
All right.
Settle down.
Please.
Sorry, ass.
So great in the Anglo car.
Let me finish, please.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, brother.
In Cyclo, around three young guys who try to push liquor before they are 21 years old.
Trying to purchase liquor.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's all a stupid demonstration to see who is smart and to prove the loyalty to Seth, the fat guy, for Evan.
For Evan. Mm-hmm.
He carry him a long distance to save him from the police.
Mm-hmm.
A very, very nice, you know, very good moment in the movie.
Funny movie?
Funny movie, yeah.
All right.
In the end of the day, super bad. Let this reviewer call.
And that was a good movie review. We hope you did not end up too confused. Oh, no,
All right, so you give it a big burrito up, and folks should go see it. It was number one, but this movie's supposed to... See, look, I don't mind every movie that's number one. Last week, it was Rush Hour 3, which every critic I heard said sucked horribly. And
right.
It's sort of insulting, actually. The commercials, this movie, every critic says is good. And we had Jonah Hill on the show, the big fat guy, as Ozzy would say. And he was very pleasant, very down-to-earth. So God bless you. Number one, go out and see it. Oz?
Yes?
I'll see you at my house in about an hour.
I continue the demo.
Doing a little demolition over
there.
Wow. Top secret project. I'll fill you guys in on a need-to-know basis. All right, quick break. Back to wrap up next on The Adam Carolla Show. we got a little time for. So what have we learned? Jeez, so many to choose from today's show. Well, we've learned that Mexicans ruined Mexico. I know it's shocking to a lot of folks that live over here, but yes, in fact, they had something to do with the destruction of their own country. And any time you hear that, it's not the people, it's the government.
No, it's malo.
What's the nationality of the government?
In Mexico?
Yes.
I'm going to go with, I'm going to go Mexican.
Si, es bueno.
It's an interesting math whenever your pussy liberal friends try to go, it's not the people. What do? Ship the government in from where? Where do they bust them in from? Thank you. All right, we've also learned...
You're on a roll today.
...that there should be a slaughter rule in life for guys like John Mark Carr. That's enough. It's the fifth inning. Your son's a peewee team is being destroyed by the crosstown rivals, and it's time to put the windbreaker on and take a walk out to the mound and just call it. Let's go home before the kid's self-esteem is damaged for good. And finally, we've learned that Kimora Lee Simmons is like Imelda Marcos, only more hateful. Wow. That's right. Slightly less likable Imelda Marcos. Not as dynamic. All the obnoxious qualities that you hated in Imelda, but in a more obnoxious, less palatable package. Well, that's it. I want to thank the nutty UFO guy. What's that guy's name? John Mark Carr?
He was all right, though.
Yeah, good guy. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying, mahalo.
Now, apparently it's difficult to get work as a school teacher after you've told everybody that you've killed a child.